Thanks a lot, Kelly.
We are Sports Radio 560, WQAM, Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
Rumor has it my new main man, Mo, was ripping Jody an ass this morning. That Mo's moving up in my book, I'll tell you that.
Finally got a call here, the number one rated Mo Howard and David in his home, at least according to my aspirations. Stay away from me. I don't even know how you have children. Miramar, hello.
Yes, I want your take on Jay Fiedler.
Oh, well, Jay Fiedler is a great quarterback and a good Jew.
I like Jay Fiedler.
Well, not to mention he's got extraordinarily smooth buttocks.
Oh, yeah!
You've got to be careful what you say here.
Okey-doke. Thank you, Mo.
No, wait a minute. Don't go.
But I have nothing else to say.
How about this? How's the weather down there in the Miramar?
I'm right down the street from you.
Oh, yeah.
I have to go.
Oh, wait, by the way, something.
No, I have to go.
Look, I tell you what. I'll hold you over the break. How's that, huh? I'll give you one of my old tank T-shirts. How's that? No, wait! That was the only caller we had.
The veins on your nose is glowing again. You got big wiggle veins on your nose and on your face. And around those oozing pimples you call eye. You go look in the mirror, you'll see a roadmap of Ypsilanti. You got your hippies on, way too tight.
My nose glows when something stings. Almost every day I think. And my veins, they start to tickle. My adenoid, yeah, I look like a fallen apart. That's because I'm a crazy old fight. When I don't get filled with purple veins, something like that you want to see on Science Channel Discovery. My nose has a bleeding purple vein.
And another thing, you would have listened to me, you would have been a big star by now. With that little pipsqueak voice, how do you expect to get anywhere, you little puny puke? Did we say puke?
I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, what about
the more I hate you?
What do I care with you?
And when I hear you, I wanna die. Your pecorino, toenail cheese aroma puts me in a coma and points my eye.
Why you? I ought to smack you. I know my smell attracts you, but unlike Zach, you still got a job. I feel just like that you are my kid brother, and one year to another. That's why you're still not fired. Our morning show can put you in a coma.
Absolutely.
And wait till it's over. All right, that's enough.
10:05 at 560 WQAM. What a place.
Oh!
Oh, man, it's the best.
What do you mean?
I mean, it just ain't like no other place. Here's our first facts of the day to give you an idea what I'm talking about from Bill in Fort Lauderdale. Excellent facts, Bill. It says Mo was out of control this morning with his utter contempt for Steve Goldstein and his newfound respect for you.
Oh, God.
How do you like that? My main man, Mo, the Mo man. You wait till I get back to town. I'm going to kiss him right on the lips. You'll see.
All right. I'll take pictures.
Okay. I will. I'll give him a big wet one. We'll be sucking face right there in the studio. While stopping just short of proclaiming you Neil God, he was ripping Goldie a new one, talking about how useless the Saturday hockey draft show would be, even referring to him numerous times as Geldy. One of Goldstein's responses during the 8 to 10 show included the phrase, well, he better get it out now, as if some major change was on the horizon. What a circus! Very well put, Bill. Even the Ringling Brothers people are in awe of us.
Well, speaking of the Ringling Brothers, we have an army of trained monkeys working on getting us some audio portions of that.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Sure.
I can't wait to hear that. Ought to be sensational.
Absolutely.
A 90 share. Regarding last week's Depends story, Bill says, I always wondered why Mr. Loan Me $50 wore those stupid suspenders. Now it makes sense since we all know that a full one is a heavy one.
There you go.
He's got to hold up that big adult Depend with them suspenders.
It's a load.
Good point. Okay, now let's take a look at yesterday's pool. I must make my confession now. I really apologize to the entire world for doing this, but I'll tell you right on the air. Yesterday, for the first time in my life, I actually watched about 40 minutes of, do I even dare say it on the air?
You have to.
40 minutes of
Oprah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, I watched 10 minutes.
And I'm going to tell you something. You women out there, and I certainly, well, we don't have any women anyway. We got,
about 30, man.
So probably we don't have the Oprah crowd. But those women that are watching, they are the Stepford Wives. Make no mistake about it. They didn't need to remake that movie. All they had to do was just take a shot of the audience on the,
Oprah
show. God. I mean, I know that she has no talent and that it's just a, another one of those mind things, but good golly, Miss Molly. There's no show.
No.
Forget about the fact that Bubba really never said anything and she was asking all the usual insipid questions and, oh, it was just horrendous. But you think that we got a lot of spots on some of the shows on this station? It's an all spots hour. There is no show. And they come back and she'll like ask one simpering idiotic question and he'll have an expression on his face and the silly women are going like, oh, that's they're tittering, yeah, and over nothing. And they're applauding like the Stepford Wives, like automatons, like auto matrons. At any rate, and then, like, he'll say a couple of cuties, and then, like, a minute and a half later, well, we'll be right back, and the president's going to read to us from his book, and every minute and a half there's another break. What kind of a format is that? Even the worst team never had a floor mat like that. So God only knows who those people are that are watching that crap. That's a sad sign for America, the fact that that bitch is making all of that money and that the housewives of America are glued to that crap. If she says squat, 50 million women are running out there squatting right in the middle of the living room. Mm-hmm. What's your take on Bill Clinton, we asked. Quite frankly, it was a very unimpressive interview, to say the best. I mean, there really was no interview
right, that
I saw.
Now, that British interview, when's that on?
Yeah, the one where he supposedly lost his cool. They showed a clip of it this morning, and I thought that was great.
Sure.
It's about time we saw somebody animated as opposed to the walking dead like John Kerry. Good to see somebody, the veins popping right out of his neck. And of course, the substance of what he said was absolutely correct, that the media didn't give a crap about how Ken Starr was terrorizing these people and putting all these innocent people in jail like Susan McDougal and dragging people's kids out of having the FBI drag them out of school in the middle. There he is, right there.
Questions. You gave him a complete free ride. Any abuse they want to do, they indicted all these little people from Arkansas. What did you care about them? They're not famous. Who cares if their lives are trampled? Who cares if their children are humiliated? Who cares if Starr sends FBI agents to their school and rip them out of their school to humiliate them, try to force their parents to lie about me?
How do you like that? Boy, what timing, man. I got it. That was sensational. Thank you, Gary Kagan.
That was a good face. He could do some acting with a face like that.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, I love Bubba. I mean, yeah, he made a lot of mistakes. He did a lot of things wrong. But compared to what we got now, anyway, here's the poll from yesterday, and that's what people are thinking mostly. What's your take on Bill Clinton, even though I'm not going to buy that book because I would never read it? He was much better than W, 871. 45% of this audience said he was much better than W. He's the greatest, 648, another 33.4%. Add those together, you got 78.3%. That is overwhelming. How do you like that? He was an embarrassment, 207, 10.6%. Who I guess were embarrassed by that multicolored curved penis. His ego is out of control, 93. He has a nifty penis, 62. He was weak, 32, and he was trying to upstage Kerry, 24, out of 1,944 votes. Damn near 2,000 votes. How do you like that? I'm pretty impressed, and you ought to be, too.
Ish.
Not as impressed as hearing about Moe and...
Ow!
Geldy. See, the audience thinks that I make these things up. When I tell you that Geldy hates him like poison and has for a hell of a long time and has been calling me and everybody else in town, including people out of the white pages in the phone book, to complain and whine about it, that's the truth. And, of course, once Mo gets whiff of that, then you know what's going to happen there. But really, when you come right down to it, I don't want to stick up for Mo too much, but when you really stop and think about it, who are the people that he turned on except us? Now, we know that he was wrong about us. Even he's starting to admit that.
That's right.
But the Beast? Good point. I don't want him on this show anymore. I mean, he's, you know, he's kind of like the station mascot. You feel sorry for him. You know, he waddles around. You wait for him to, like, explode right in the middle of the studio. Beast? Geldy? Huh?
What?
So I'm thinking that maybe he isn't all bad, the Mo Meister.
Absolutely.
Not too good, but not all bad. I see a chance for a real rebonding there.
Cold bond.
Yeah, old bond. Sybil Shepherd is on our Behind the Beaded Curtain today. Now, if anybody don't know who Sybil Shepherd is, she ain't no Kelly Shepherd, I'll tell you that.
Oh?
She was born February 18th, 1950, which makes her kind of an old bag, if you ask me. She's 54. Wow. Not as old as I am, but she's getting there. Sybil Shepherd. Isn't that sad that she's already 54? I can't believe that. That shows you how old we're getting.
Right. But that picture, unfortunately, or fortunately, however
yes.
you want to look at it, is not when she's 54.
No, it's a pretty good picture. I don't want to read the whole, because everybody knows who she
sure.
is. She was in While Justice
Moonlight.
Sleeps. She was in Sybil, because they didn't have to name anybody. Baby Brokers, there was a little boy, the detective, the Long Hot Summer. Nothing really any very good when you come right down to it. The Lady Vanishes, Daisy Miller, The Heartbreak Kid. The Last Picture Show, that was a good movie.
That's right.
Depressing.
Naked.
Boy, that was morbid.
Nudity, a lot of nudity.
That was very morbid and depressing. But anyway, there's Sybil Shepherd. Take a puke at that on our Behind the Beaded Curtain if you're over the age of 75. Got lots of heavy-duty stuff, including the new FCC fines.
Oy!
Wow.
Oy!
Wait till you hear about that. 99-1. 99-1. Boy, it's really close. You've got a real hell of a good chance of getting your freedom back in America, right?
No.
No. Forget about it. Freedom is just a distant memory. Freedom of speech, freedom of anything. It's all gone. Because we got that courageous congressman who really going to step up to the plate. And they walk off, they're going to write a walk-off bill is what they're going to do.
By the way, I found out where that term came from.
Yes?
Dennis Eckersley.
Stop talking through your teeth.
I like it.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, he dropped that, I guess, right after his career.
See, now, look at that. Look how much different he sounds. He stopped talking through his teeth. If you listen to me, you could have a great career. But when you start talking through your teeth like that, people start, you know. So Dennis Eckersley said the walk-off home run, huh?
Yeah, he started it.
He had a hell of a mustache, I'll tell you that. And he had a full head of hair. He had a big head of hair. In fact, sloppy. He was like from the neck up, a hairball. He was kind of like the Ron Jeremy of head. I mean, you know what I'm saying? From the neck up?
No, explain.
No.
Oh, I better quit right there. Well, I got the Charles Alfieri spot coming up right now.
See.
And if you're one of those guys who only is jealous of people like Dennis Eckersley and people that got like hair all over, or maybe you're jealous of Ron Jeremy, but I doubt it. Anyway, Charles Alfieri can get you some serious looking hair right back instead of that mousy looking look or some of those people that got that nasty muskrat look.
Absolutely.
That is a hoot and a holler. If you want to look really great, if you want to, like, change your life for the better, Charlie can do it for you for more than 35 years. He's been doing it for big shots, for low shots, for everybody in between. He's been on Good Morning America, the Today Show, CBS Morning News, because Charles Alfieri's natural hairline system is the most amazing, the best looking in the universe. Keep in mind, the most critical area of any hair system is that hairline, and Charlie's new skin-like hair system is 100% undetectable, which makes it really
unbelievable.
That, too. And it gives you this money-back guarantee. So what do you got to lose besides a shiny, ugly bald spot that makes you look old and decrepit? You try this hair system for 30 days.
About 30, man.
For about a month. If you don't love the way it looks and feels and smells, return it for a full refund. So what's not to like? Call Charlie today. Forget about the muskrats and the pills, all those dangerous, stupid-looking things, and start looking better and younger than you ever dreamed you could again. Call 1-800-321-2413. That's 1-800-321-2413. Or check them out on the World Wide Web at charlesalfieri.com.
See, this is my theory, like with Neil Rogers also. You know, it's the kind of thing, like if you throw a ball at him, he runs the other way. If you shot a hockey puck at Neil Rogers, he'd be running down 441 the other way.
Neil used to don the tools of ignorance, and he was a catcher in minor league baseball, and he could have gone pro. But he decided
to do radio. Testing. Actually, it's probably been more profitable, yeah.
Freedom's dead! Freedom's dead! Let's bury our heads!
Ha ha ha!
very concerned about whether we're going to have fart sounds on a radio, but there are two more American kids that got killed in Iraq this morning. But you won't find it on the CNN website or MSNBC's website. The only reason I know is that about 8 o'clock I saw the crawl on MSNBC. Two more U.S. soldiers killed in Iraq. So the media, this is kind of like Vietnam in reverse. Remember in the beginning when there was one or two soldiers killed, right away it was big news and we had the names and it was like on all the websites and it was like the lead story. All now American soldiers get killed. It doesn't even make the newscast anymore. It's small potatoes as we approach the 900 number and pretty soon 1,000 and then maybe 2,000 and who knows after that. So ordinarily I would, you know, start off with the bad news telling you that two more American soldiers died, but I just can't find the story, but I can just tell you that bad news. David in Kendall faxes and says, you read an article on Monday about the death of baby Ali, who suffered from an easily treatable condition. Yesterday, you read an article about where the proceeds of Iraq's oil is going or not going. Today, CNN is reporting that the pipelines that were all but destroyed 3 weeks ago are finally up and running as of today. Thanks for those low gas prices, Mr. President.
Oh!
We can't seem to get basic medical supplies to the Iraqi people. There are people in major cities that have been without electricity or clean drinking water for over a year now. But by God, we got those pipelines pumping again. All right.
All right.
There you go. And speaking of that, speaking of the Mad Dog, I got to play a little bit of this from yesterday because he is doing a show this week from Reykjavik from that golf tournament. The quality of the line was so good.
And whenever he can. 567-0560, that's how you reach us here on the show if you're out there. Or...
from Iceland, no less. Can you believe that?
Dial us up.
Huh?
Even more amazing.
Yes.
I stand in front of you now, 2 years later, and say, it took me a little while, I'm a little slow learner, but, Neil, I apologize.
No!
You have got to be kidding me. And you know what? I apologize back, even though I didn't try to get you fired like you tried to get destroy my career and try to get George fired and everybody else in the building. I take it all back, too. Let's start fresh, because I think I've just made a new ally.
I apologize.
Right. Well, I don't have anything to apologize for about it. Well, we're still continue ripping him an ass, but at least I think he finally understands what those bits are all about.
Right.
Which is why we started out with a double-barreled one today.
They're bits of love.
You're not going to believe this. This is a true story to show you how sick I am. You know, the Deep Purple one, which I'm just obsessed with that.
Oh, it's phenomenal. It's classic.
But I went to bed about 20 after 11, which is about 11, 11:15 I go to bed, get my 8 hours. And I'm laying there, and of course, when you go on vacation, when you're away for a while, and the bits that were like really timely
right.
before you went on vacation, and then you forget a couple of them. And
right.
I started thinking about this, and I came running in here. This is the truth. I got out of bed, and I came running in here, and I had to listen to it.
Oh, you're sick.
Finally got a call here, the number one rated.
I'm serious. I had to listen to it. I'm just obsessed with that.
You're a sick man.
I am. You got to play that again. In fact, we might just play that for 4 hours today.
Oh!
My main man, the Mo Man. Apology accepted. See, the whole deal is now we're all going to pile on to Gildy. And rightfully so. There is the chigger in a woodpile. That squeaky-voiced, no-talent, little backstabbing twerp who wants everybody else's job.
Oh, when I talk to Norm Kent, he thinks I ought to do the morning show all by myself.
Oh!
Yeah, and I think, I think he's right. I don't need Mo, and I don't need Joe, and I don't need anybody else.
That's the chigger in a woodpile. A man who's got no talent, a man who's got a voice that, like, scratching nails on a blackboard. In fact, I think we ought to have a new bit called 9 Sounds That You Hate. You know, remember this one?
Sure, it's a classic.
Yeah.
Eight sounds that you hate.
Yeah, there's the 9th one, okay? The sound of that voice. Anyway, let's get to some serious stuff here because you got me. I play it one more time. I got to hear that.
I stand in front of you now, 2 years later, and say, it took me a little while. I'm a little slow learner. But, Neil, I apologize.
Oh, my God.
You are the truth.
Oh, man. Like I said, my main man, the Mo-meister. I never thought this day would come, you know. I just can't wait to be. In fact, I'm not going to kiss him on the lips because that would gross both of us out. But I will stand there and with my arm around his shoulder and let you take a picture of that and put it right on our website.
Sure. Then we can party.
No.
I'll bring the bag.
No, he'll bring his own bag. Here's today's poll question. Jeez, I mean, I start out by admitting I actually watched Oprah 40 minutes yesterday, which I can't even believe I said that out loud. And then we got the apology from Mo. Things are happening. I asked what's his name, Muff and Clarence this morning when the hell Joe Rose is coming back, and they said,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what they said. as the Greg Reed School of Neurosis continues at QAM. It's just amazing. I think the soap opera aspect of the radio station is one of the best things we got going for us. On the one hand, you get frustrated, but on the other hand, the audience loves it. Anyway, here's today's poll. Which of these people best fits this description? Let me say it again. Which of these people best fits this description? Someone famous you used to dislike but now like a lot. And I got Judge Judy.
Sure. Good choice. I agree.
Because in the beginning, when I first saw Judge Judy, she was just another jappy Judge Wapner. She was trying to do the straight routine and just to be a, you know, the hanging judge.
Yeah.
But now she's a hoot. She's hysterically funny, and I just think she's great. I love Judge Judy.
See?
I love when she bitches all these Yahoo trailer trash people out.
You let your anti-Semitism get in the way of life.
That must have been it. What's your excuse? Okay, now what do you got for anything?
No, I'm going to agree with Judge Judy unless I hear something better.
No.
Same thing. I didn't like her in the beginning.
Josh, you got anyone for this?
I'll think of somebody.
Okay. Which of these people that you used to dislike, but now you like them a lot? How about Mo Howard David?
There you go.
Absolutely.
I love Mo. I want to have wild monkey sex with Mo.
I have one. I thought one up. I was talking about her last week. Dido.
Dido?
The singer Dido.
Yeah, I know. I called her something else, but we better not say it.
But now I
we better not say it because
no.
Well, we can say it.
That's a quarter of a million plus.
Yeah. Now, can you imagine if we had, like, rattled off about 20 farting sounds in a row? That's the end of the budget for this month and next month. And I would have thought that with Clarence and Muffright in there together this morning, maybe the discussion would have been about something important like Senate OK's higher fines for indecency. And even though the final bill hasn't been hashed out and signed, which you know that Bush will sign in a heartbeat, it's going to happen. If you think that your spineless Congress or the Democrats or anybody else, the Green Party, the Purple People Leader, are going to bail us out of this, forget about it. It ain't going to happen. None of them have any guts. This story is just astonishing. What was it in the House? It was like 391 to 25 or something like that, the indecency bill. Faced with public ire over racy language, explicit scenes, and skin-bearing outfits, the Senate overwhelmingly agreed yesterday to fine radio and television broadcast and personalities as much as $3 million a day for airing indecent entertainment.
Oh, my God.
After the uproar stoked by Janet Jackson and Justin Tinkerbell's wardrobe malfunction at the Super Bowl, the Senate rushed the bill through on a 99-1 vote without floor debate. Zion America. GOP Senator, the ultra-right-wing Nazi Sam Brownback of Kansas, said the issue had been debated enough. Lawmakers have continually criticized broadcasters for airing what they say is increasingly coarse programming that can be seen or heard by children. People are tired of this indecent material on over-the-air public broadcast, particularly during prime time when people's families are watching, said Brownback, the bill's sponsor. We're going to have to take action because the broadcasters won't police themselves. Under the measure, the maximum fine for both broadcasters and entertainers would increase up to $275,000 per incident, up from $27,500 for license holders and $11,000 for personalities. The fines would keep increasing for each incident until a maximum of $3 million a day is reached. The House passed a similar bill that would set fines at $500,000. Differences between the two bills must be worked out. The Senate moved the measure without debate as part of the massive defense bill expected to be approved later this week. The only senator to vote against the measure was Senator John Breaux, Democrat of Louisiana, and the reason he voted against it is because he's retiring at the end of his current term. He ain't got nothing to lose. Even our great defenders of the First Amendment, like Ted Kennedy and Russ Feingold, all of these other sellouts, they voted yes. I rest my case. Freedom's dead. 27 after 10 at 560 WQM. It's summertime. Days are getting longer, nights getting shorter, which means it's so important for you to get a good night's sleep. If you're not sleeping as well as you could, call 1-800-MATTRESS today. Millions of people have called 1-800-MATTRESS to get the lowest prices on the best brands in bedding. The easiest possible way to get you a great night's sleep for a long time to come. Save time, save money, improve your productivity, and brighten your disposition with a good night's sleep. Dollar Mattress is ranked number one in customer satisfaction. They were winners of the 2004 Better Business Bureau Local Torch of Excellence Award. When you call 1-800-MATTRESS, you'll get the best prices on the best brands, delivery on your schedule, that two-hour window that you pick, and the best customer service in the universe. Dollar Mattress has got all the goods. They got the complete line of Sealy, Serta, King Coil, Simmons, Tempur-Pedic, and Stearns and Foster Hewitt. From Kendall Stewart, Palm Beach to Fort Myers, Dollar Mattress will deliver right to your door, the finest bedding going anywhere. Everyone at QAM, including yours truly, we've been calling Dollar Mattress for a long time right now for our beds, and you should be doing the same. Log on to their website, mattress.com, if you like, or give them a call at that toll-free number. They'll be knocking on your door in no time at all. 1-800-MATTRESS, 1-800-MATTRES.
Live and local, we're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Come back.
to the Mo Howard David Show. He ain't here yet. He's making. Finally, I have the show all to myself. Ooh, look, a microphone. And there's buttons here. The Marlins. They play baseball.
Hey, why do you hear this?
What?
Hoist. And scray out of my chair, Giggles.
What chair?
Nice. Now get this. I was out in the hallway, see? And I saw that fat little beast out there.
Yeah?
And I glazed it in his face.
I don't think you can say that.
No, not that way. With spittle.
You spit in his face?
Yeah. Like this.
What'd you do that for?
Because I felt like it, that's why.
I ain't looking to fight with you, but you're a nasty, smelly, fruity Jew. I won't ignore it, won't take no more of it. So okay, pal, now you ask for it. All I really want to do is walk a super on you.
Boy, why, you stinking little punk. What the hell do you know? It's because of you I got a lousy show. Greg Reed knows.
Oh, no, that's what I call great radio.
Hey, Greg, oh, spit my eyes out.
I'll mobilize you.
All I believe was to do is walk a goober on you.
I gotta walk a goober on you.
Ow! 27 to 11 at 560 WQM. Let me take a look at that schedule. We got the Mad Dog from.
From? What? We don't know if he's back. How are we supposed to?
No, of course he's not back. He's from Reykjavik, Iceland. How the hell would he be back?
He moves fast?
No. And we got the Humper at 4. 6:30, got your Marlins on deck. Atlanta at Florida. The Braves, Marlins have pulled one out last night, 4-3. Braves at the Marlins tonight, 7:05 game time at the ballpark. Eddie K after the ballgame. Michael Moore and his distributors. Don't forget, this Friday, it's only 2 days away now.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Fahrenheit 9/11. Michael Moore and his distributors lost their appeal yesterday to lower the R rating for Fahrenheit 9/11. His scathing assault on President Bush's actions before and after the 9/11 attacks. Lionsgate Films and IFC Films, the movie distributor, said an appeals board for the Motion Picture Association of America rejected their request to reduce the rating to PG-13. The R rating prohibits those 17 and younger from seeing Fahrenheit 9/11 without an adult. The one good thing about all that is they can't vote anyway.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So who gives a crap? The movie, which won the top honor at last month's Cannes Film Festival, was rated R for violent and disturbing images and for language. The movie's images include an Iraqi man tossing a dead baby into a truckload of bodies, Iraqis burned by napalm, and a public beheading in Saudi Arabia. Tom Ortenberg, president of Lionsgate Films, had argued to the appeals board that 15 and 16-year-olds should be free to see the film on their own because they could end up in military service in Iraq in the next few years. That's an excellent point, and it makes too much sense, obviously. I hope the R rating doesn't have a large impact on the box office, Ortenberg said. I've spoken with many parents, including some on the appeals board, who absolutely said they're going to take their children to see the film. We just have to hope that, look, if people took their kids to see the Passion of the Christ and all that violent crap, that whipping and beating and flailing and bleeding and all of that garbage, why wouldn't they take them to see something that has some social relevance besides a bunch of fairy tales?
That was for a good cause, and this is propaganda.
We'll just have to hope the teenagers we're encouraging to see this picture find their way in through parents or adult guardians, or just sneak in and lie about their age to get fake ID.
I'll take everybody who wants to go.
IFC Entertainment President Jonathan Searing disagreed with the MPW. Is ruling at in, but we do respect the process and appreciate that the MPAA listened with open minds to our appeal. As anyone who's read a paper, watched TV, surfed the web, or chatted by a water cooler this week can attest, the interest in Fahrenheit 9/11 has grown to mammoth proportions, Searing went on. It's a shame that Fahrenheit 9/11 will become inaccessible to a segment of the American population to whom this film has a great deal of relevance. Opens in limited release in New York today. Oh, I didn't know that. Did you?
Nope.
In New York City. Well, let's go. I'm leaving right now.
Meet you there.
And I can get there a lot quicker than you can.
Okay.
And nationwide, about 850 theaters on Friday, including here in T.O.T.
Oh!
How do you like that? And that's homework assignment for everybody. Well, everybody connected with this show. Not everybody else at QAM, because this movie obviously has nothing to do with
sports.
Right. Or maybe it does. I don't think we're going to get too many. Maybe it's a tough question today. I thought about that
because
we've done the reverse one which we got a tremendous amount of response, somebody that you used to like and now you hate them like poison. And, of course, it's a really negative thing, and we got tremendous response on that. I think we've done that a couple of times. We've never done this one, though. It's a little more positive and uplifting, like looking out my window and the sun is shining, beautiful, going to be 75 today here, low humidity. It's just great. So it's uplifting, which I realize South Florida hates it, especially since it's 100 degrees in the shade, and even Screw Ann was in there this morning bitching and moaning. It's so humid and it's so hollow. Too bad. And by the way, go take a quick shower, honey. Anyway, which of these people fits best this description? Someone famous you used to dislike, but now you like a lot. Judge Judy's got 4 votes. Dido's got 1. And Mo Howard David don't have any. Those are the only 3 names we got so far, but let's take some more. WQAM, hello. I like that one.
Yeah.
Hello. Yes, sir.
Yeah, sir. How about George? I used to really hate him. Now I love him a lot.
Excellent choice. Thank you. George Rodriguez, let's get little George on there. The audience didn't give him too much slack at the beginning, but now he's grown on them like a gigantic malignant tumor.
Lots of flack.
I told
flack.
You that. No, they loved your performance last week. It must have been sensational. Even Josh said you were great. What?
Fantastic. I pay him to say that, though.
No, he didn't. But he didn't say that. Now, that you were, I'm sure it was an excellent week. I just had that feeling. You could see it on our website. Had a lot of hits on there. Of course, mostly it was for Britney Spears' naked pictures, but nevertheless... Right. No, it was good.
I know how to
and, of course,
it.
I was putting the audience, unbeknownst to them, I was putting those great bedtime stories on there because I'm a hell of a guy.
Yes, you are.
And even all summer long when I'm going to be doing just my two-a-days and two-and-alls and two-a-minutes like Rush, I'm just still going to be putting them stories on there.
Thank God.
When
I mean, all right.
Huh?
That's a good.
I already told you that.
Yeah.
Because, see, at QAM, one of our biggest problems, and it's not only QAM, in America in general, the work ethic, you can't complain about it because it doesn't exist. I mean, most people, right. like at our radio station, they just kind of like slough their way through the
sure.
day doing as little as they possibly can, feeding their face with a bunch of free food and donuts and crap and a bunch of free sodas that they scam out of our refrigerator there. And then they just go home and that's it. That's
right.
their idea of doing a day's work.
Work's
you know
overrated.
What I'm talking about?
What did work ever accomplish?
Right. So one of the little messages that I can send along to all you pipsqueaks out there, something, a lesson in life is that you don't have to, like, work your ass off, but just even a reasonable amount of effort, just a minimal amount of effort already puts you, like, 100 miles ahead of the pack. You're, like, way ahead of everybody else.
Do I have to get up?
No, you don't even have to do that.
Okay,
just like, pretend you're making an effort. That already puts you, like, our sales department. You're a million miles ahead of them. They'll never catch up with you.
We're having
WQAM, hello. Not there. QAM, hello.
Neil God.
Yes, sir, speaking.
Hey, pissed off and fired up. The New York Times had a great article in the Week in Review on Sunday.
Yeah.
Had, you know, this whole link that they tried to say that, oh, definitely Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda had a link, which...
No, we had that on yesterday. I talked about that. That's all bullcrap. It was all a lie.
Yeah, well, the New York Times has a great article that just has a verbatim, word for word, Condoleezza Rice, Rumsfeld, Cheney, all the way up, even to the head monkey, about exactly their words of what they said, you know, in their speeches and statements, trying to link exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And now the commission is showing, even their, you know, even the Republicans' commission are saying that there ain't none.
Right.
But, I heard a little bit, you were talking about Rutan and the spaceship. I'm really excited about that. I hope that maybe wisens up the planet a little bit. Start getting out into space and see how little the place is.
Okay, well, good luck to you, sir. See how little the place is. I thought he meant the Earth is what he's probably trying to say. Isn't that what he's trying to say?
Something like that.
Something like a space cadet, because he's obviously done some good crap already this morning. 20 before 11 at 560 WQAM. If you got a good crap and bad crap and all kinds of crap in your carpeting, what are you going to do? You're going to go to the supermarket and schlep home a bunch of heavy equipment?
No.
Of course not. Nobody wants to do that, because all you're going to do is make a mess anyway. Just sit back, pick up your phone, make one easy call to Dry Concepts at 1-800-248-5071. They'll come to your home, roll up their sleeves. They will dry clean your carpeting. Same idea as dry cleaning your clothing, but they're the only ones in the world to do it. It's an exclusive patented method that leaves your carpeting looking and smelling and feeling just like you had brand new laid right there on your floor. They dry in a couple of hours, they smell lemony fresh, and you're ready to rock and roll again, so you really can clean today and entertain tonight. It's more than just another advertising slogan. No rip-offs, no games, no scams at the end of the job, no disappointments. They just hand you a nice little rose, you give them a check, they give you a guaranteed written price up front before they start doing the work. How can you beat that? So whether it's your area rugs, your oriental carpets, your flying magic carpet, your carpeting, drapery, upholstery, all of these things, Dry Concepts are the ones who do a superb, unbeatable job for you. They've been doing it in my house for over 20 years. And if you tell them to put you on their standby list, they'll save an extra 15% off their already unbeatable deal, like I just said. Call them toll-free, 1-800-248-5071. That's 1-800-248-5071, or check them on the World Wide Web at dryconcepts.com.
My and local. This is Sports Radio 560. QAQAM.
Your breasts are beautiful.
Coming up tonight on Inside the Behind the True Hollywood Celebrity Music Biography Profile Story, we take a good, hard, stiff look into stardom. They were a band that took a while to settle on a name. All they knew was that it should probably be a slang word for a woman's breasts. They were the Hooters.
Oh, brother, did these guys go through the names?
Tonight, Chet Stools, the Hooters' manager, brings us rare footage of several of the band's early club dates, like this 1981 appearance in Cleveland.
Okay, everybody, give it up for the enormous Rats!
Followed by a county fair show in Des Moines.
Okay, everybody, give it up for the Bodacious Tatas!
Finally, at a club in Wisconsin, the band thought they'd finally come up with the simpler is better approach.
Okay, everybody, give it up for the Hello? Is this thing on?
So at last they decide on the Hooters. We have a hit. And then we find out this new restaurant chain is suing us. End of career. You know the restaurants I mean, where they hire the girls with the big bazooms, the gigantic jugs, the massive melons, the huge knockers.
The Hooters. I guess they were about as successful as any band named after breasts could be. It's a big, juicy, sopping wet look at show business.
All right.
Tonight on Inside the Behind.
1047. We're not going to get a lot of votes on this poll today because this is another one twice in the same week, I guess, that I just struck another load in reverse. But that's okay. I don't care. I think it's a really good question, just something positive, and this crowd don't like it. Elmer says, I know you'll disagree with me on this, and I don't really care, Elmer. It's not a question. We're not just asking what Neil's opinion is. That's why we do the poll, Elmer. But I want to add Eminem to the list. He's sharp, witty linguist and lyricist, as well as a master of manipulating the media to his advantage. Jim Carrey comes a close second, but I nominate Eminem for the poll. You got it, Elmer. P.S. I still hate Mo Howard David. How do you like that?
Absolutely.
That's okay. We don't mind.
Do.
Sure. Mo and I, we got everybody in a really good mood now, except, of course, for the odd man out. Boy, he's really something else.
Odd.
That too. Look at this. George is right on Judge Judy's ass there. She's got 7 votes. George has got 5. Mo Howard David has got 3, and Dido's got a pair. We only got 17 votes. Probably if I'd shut up and put some more names on there, we'd get some more votes, right?
Maybe. Let's try.
WQAM, hello.
Neil.
Yes, sir.
Yes, hi, for your poll.
Yes.
My nomination would be Pat Buchanan.
Yeah?
I'm not under any illusions. I mean, I know when it comes to, like, cultural issues.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, but... But I definitely have, I mean, it's all part of the same thing in his worldview. He's putting America first, et cetera, which I think is what we should be trying to do. You know, look after our own interests instead of trying to fix the world, exporting democracy, et cetera, et cetera. So he would be my top choice. If you do the reverse poll, though, it's got to be Phil Hendry or Chris Hitchens.
Okay, thanks. Sure. When we do the reverse one in about 6 months, we'll keep those in mind, okay?
Are you sure?
Yeah, we won't forget. Okay, Pat Buchanan, I can relate to that. We've talked about that, although he is, you know, kind of like Nazi light now compared to what we got.
Yeah.
5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T line. WQAM, hello.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing today?
Sensational.
Good, good. Hey, I got one for your poll.
All right.
I tell you, I hate Bush so much, I fell in love with Bubba.
Okay.
You know, I would do anything to have him back. I think
that's why people are lining up for that book so much. They may not even read it. They just want to show their how much they miss what we had before.
Well, I won't read the book either. I wish we had it back. I love the guy now. 5 years later.
Okay, thanks, Pally. Bill Clinton, get him on there, Bubba. He's peddling books. He's all over the place. He's everywhere. Even on your pop-up toaster in the morning. The Reverend Moon honored at Hill Reception. This story is just, you know, it wasn't bad enough, the story about the Senate bill on indecency, 99-1 vote. Well, what does that tell you? See, it's an election year, and the idea that anybody would be seen as supporting quote-unquote indecent speech or indecency on broadcast airwaves, I mean, God forbid. So we just don't have anybody with any balls, basically, who's in office. We got people like Michael Moore and people who, you know, don't hold any political office. They're the ones with the balls. Then we got the egotists like Ralph Nader, who's busy running around. Oh, the Black Caucuses, get out of there. You're going to screw it up again. No chance. No way. I got the answers. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Yeah. I got one suggestion for you, Ralph. Retire! That's my suggestion. You pathetic old egotistical piece of crap. You bag of wind. More than a dozen lawmakers attended a congressional reception this year honoring the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, in which Moon declared himself to be the Messiah and said his teachings have helped Hitler and Stalin be reborn as new persons. This is your government in action, folks. At the March 23rd ceremony in the Dirksen Senate Office Building, Representative Danny K. Davis, Democrat of Illinois, wore white gloves and carried a pillow holding an ornate crown that was placed on Reverend Moon's head.
I'm going to puke.
The Korean-born businessman and religious leader then delivered a long speech saying he was sent to Earth to save the world's 6 billion people. Emperors, kings, and presidents have declared all to heaven and earth that Reverend Sun Myung Moon is none other than humanity's savior, messiah, returning lord, and true parent. Details of the ceremony, first reported by Salon.com writer John Gorenfield, have prompted several lawmakers to say they were misled or duped by organizers. Their complaints prompted a Moon-affiliated website to remove a video of the Crown of Peace ceremony 2 days ago, but other websites have preserved details and photos. Moon, 85, has been controversial for years, renowned for his officiating at mass weddings. He received an 18-month prison sentence in 82 for tax fraud and conspiracy to obstruct justice. In a 1997 sermon, he likened homosexuals to dirty, dung-eating dogs. Among the more than 300 people who attended all or part of the March ceremony was Senator Mark Dayton, Democrat of Minnesota, who now says simply he was honoring a constituent receiving a peace award and didn't know that Moon would be there. We fell victim to it. We were duped, Dayton spokeswoman Chris Lisi said yesterday. Other lawmakers who attended or were listed as hosts felt the same, she said. Everyone I talked to was furious, she said. With Minnesota's demanding to know whether Dayton's a follower of Moon, Lisi said the senator persuaded the St. Paul Pioneer Press to write an article allowing him to reply. The event's organizers flew in nearly 100 honorees from all 50 states to receive state and national peace awards. The only international Crown of Peace awards went to Moon and his wife. Some Republicans who attended the event, including Representative Roscoe G. Bartlett, said they did mainly to salute the Washington Times, a conservative-leaning newspaper owned by Moon's organization. I had no idea what would happen regarding Moon's coronation and speech, Bartlett said yesterday, but a key organizer, Archbishop George Stallings, Jr., pastor of the Imani Temple, independent African-American Catholic congregation in northeast Washington, said Moon's prominent role should have surprised nobody. He said a March 8th invitation fax to all lawmakers stated that the primary program sponsor would be the Interreligious and International Federation for World Peace founded by Reverend Dr. and Mrs. Sun Myung Moon, who would also be recognized that evening for their lifelong work to promote interfaith cooperation and reconciliation. You have to be deaf, dumb, and blind not to know that any event that's sponsored by the Washington Times could involve the influence or the potential presence of the Reverend Moon, he said. Use of the Dirksen Building requires a senator's approval. Dayton said he gave no such permission, and Stallings said the question of who did so is shrouded in mystery. Nobody wants to take credit for it, I guess. So there you go. Your government in action again, baby.
And proven methods of prevention are showing the spread of this disease are slowing. The spread of this disease.
You know what he's talking about, Jensen? George W. Bush disease. There's going to be one prevention to make sure it doesn't recur again. That's on November 2nd. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon Wireless line. Which of these people best fits the description? Someone famous you used to dislike but now like a lot. Judge Judy's got 9. Little George there's got 8. Mo Howard David is moving up with 6. How do you like that, Mo? You're doing it.
Absolutely.
Eminem 3, Dido's got a pair, Pat Buchanan 2, and Bill Clinton's got 1 out of only 31 votes. We're just not going to get much on this. You know what? Who cares? That's we're not here to get votes. Right?
That reverse one, I think that's the idea.
Right. WQAM, hello.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
I guess I have the wrong number?
No, I don't think so. Is this WQAM you're calling?
Yeah.
Well, that's me.
Okay. Am I speaking to Neil?
Yes, you are.
Well, for the poll, I would suggest Ronald Reagan only because he's dead.
Let me think about that for a while. Let me put my thinking cap on, okay, and see if I can analyze that for you. See, you're right. We'll have to switch the poll. We'll have to do it the reverse way again. I hate we've done that before. I try to come up with new stuff that we've never done before, but you people are so negative and so hostile and so bad because it's a South Florida thing.
Sure.
I understand it's 400 degrees in the shade and you're pissed off that you're there and you're all bent out of shape about the mosquitoes the size of bowling balls and that humidity and all of these things, you know, but, geez, it's really sad.
Know your crowd.
Yeah, you're right. WQAM, hello.
Neil.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, hi. First of all, I wanted to comment on that Sung Young Moon article. You notice how they never said in any part of it that I heard that anybody walked out.
Right.
They were all upset, but they never actually got up and...
Well, they only proclaimed to be upset after it got into the media that they were there in the first place. Then they're trying to cover their ass.
Oh, of course. Of course. But the real reason I called was the article about the rating on Boeing... not Boeing for Columbine. Listen to me. For Fahrenheit 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they were saying they weren't going to reduce it from an R was because of the baby in the truck and,
right.
and something else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've never seen it, but did you know that the Monkees made a movie years ago, just at the end of their TV show? They used documentary footage in there from the Vietnam War, one of which was that street execution in Saigon,
mm-hmm.
where the guy gets shot in the temple.
Right. Right.
They showed that at least three times, one time in slow motion, the guy falling all the way to the ground with the blood spurting out of his head. Guess what movie? What rating that movie's had the day one?
G.
Absolutely. I don't understand.
You don't understand? Hey, listen, we can't even play fart sounds on the radio anymore, much less show things like that.
Oh, I get that. They're trying to say that this is not politically motivated or that this isn't some sort of big change in things. But, well, that's the thing. Even before this Janet Jackson, there's been a very strange thing about that, well, if it's real, it somehow doesn't qualify as being... gratuitous, so because it's documentary footage, it doesn't...
Hey, I got news for you. Now that the Senate has passed this thing 99-1, you just watch them go after the cable and after satellite radio and satellite TV. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm
so
sure.
I'll see you at the border. I'll see you at Niagara Falls, okay?
Well, can I add something to your poll?
Real fast.
Michael Moore.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
10:57 at 560 WQM. Michael Moore for president.
Oh!
Yeah! And who did we say yesterday for VP? Somebody we liked so much I forgot already. So
yeah,
who was it?
We must have liked them a lot.
Yeah, we liked them a lot. Nobody wants to talk about cancer or heart disease, especially when you're thinking about your own health, yet you owe it to yourself and your family to be sure that you're in good health. It's a proven fact that disease responds extremely well to treatment if detected early. That's the key, finding it in the beginning before it's too late. Hollywood Diagnostic Center is proud to announce their virtual colonoscopy, coronary heart scoring, and full body screening exams. These are amazing, miraculous tests that can detect cancer or other life-threatening diseases in their early stages before it's too late. A doctor's referral isn't even needed. So for all your imaging exams, call Hollywood Diagnostic Center at 954-966-3600 for the test that, like I said, can find something early, or if you're getting a good clean bill of health like I got there, give you a tremendous peace of mind. At Hollywood Diagnostic Center, they offer the state-of-the-art imaging equipment with open MRI, high-speed CAT scan, nuclear medicine, and much, much more. Hollywood Diagnostic Center has been doing great work in South Florida for over 20 years. Their facility also provides a complete mobile diagnostic service that can come right to you if you, like, fall down and break your neck. Call Hollywood Diagnostic Center for your imaging exams today, and I really do mean it. It could be a life-saving phone call, one of the most important you might ever make. Call 954-966-3600. That's 954-966-3600. 3600.
Live and local. This is Sports Radio 560. QAQAM.
The crap you can unwrap. All the slime, all the time.
And now, another audio selection from the Clinton memoirs.
More campaigning today. God, what a pain in the butt. I can't believe it. I tell you, one time when people walk up to me and throw their baby in my face, I'd like to just punt it like a football.
The Clinton memoirs.
Hey, what do you say we go get Big Macs and a job?
At bookstores this summer.
11:02 at 560 WQM. We'll change the poll at noon. We'll turn it around. We'll flip-flop it.
Aye.
Well, that's the only way we're going to get any response. We only got
no
59
question.
Votes on
right.
there. Although you're leading this one. That's good. That's a good sign. They used to hate George like poison, and now they like him a lot.
Or at least not as much hate.
No, that's not what the poll said.
Hate
so
like.
Which of these people best fits this description? Somebody used to dislike, but now like a lot. They love you. They want to come in here and just hop all over your bones.
Send a picture.
I don't think so. George Rodriguez, 15. Judge Judy, 13. I love Judge Judy. She's a trip. She's a panic. She certainly beats the hell out of Dr. Judy Dean.
I'd like to watch that.
Yeah, I would like to see her beat the crap out of that bitch. Although they do look alike. Bill Clinton, 7. Mo Howard David has got 7. You're moving up, Mo.
Doi, 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 doi.
Eminem's got 7. Pat Buchanan, 6. Dido's got 3. And Michael Moore's got 1. Well, that's probably because most of our audience didn't dislike him in the first place. Well, turn it around at noon, or do you want to do it now? I mean, this is just beating a dead horse.
Whatever, we can do it now.
I mean, all right, we can do it now. And we say George won.
Oh!
There you go. That's a good way to do it. Kind of like the Bush factor. Oh, we're just stopped the count now. We won.
Let us in.
Yeah, no chance. So let's turn it around. Eric, of course, is going to have to put the other poll thing on there because he won't let Josh have full control over the website.
Don't go start now.
What?
So
no, I don't understand this. I'm trying. I appreciate all Eric's work for us on that website. He's a genius. He's we love him like crazy. The moment he tells me that he had to spend X number of dollars, that check is in a, before the day is out, but before 2:30, this is the truth. While the show is on, I'm writing out the check to cover the expense of the thing, the bandwidth or whatever it is, and it's in the mailbox by 2:15,
wow,
just to make sure he gets reimbursed. How do you like that? To show how much I appreciate the great stuff he's done for us in the past, but then again, no, seriously, it's just that he's a little slow on the handing things over. Play that Mo clip again. I got to hear that.
I stand in front of you now, 2 years later, and say, it took me a little while. I'm a little slow learner, but, Neil, I apologize.
It's way deal.
You are the truth.
Unbelievable.
Oh, man. I tell it like it is, man. I tell it like it is, even when it hurts like a boil bursting. And by the way, you experts out there, that was a boil. It's healing up very nicely, thank you. It was a boil. Let me tell the story again about how that boil juice smells real bad. Not better not.
Boiled over?
Let's change it around. Which of these people best fits this description? Somebody famous you used to like, but now you, how do we put it? Dislike a lot.
Now you hate them. Bill Hinton.
Hate them like poison, okay. That's a good way.
Are you sure?
To put it, yeah. You're going to get a lot of votes, Phil. Make no mistake about that. That'll be the one we're starting with. Phil Henry. Used to love Phil Henry. Now we hate him like poison. He's turned into a rat. Into a right-wing, licking, phony, baloney, backstabbing piece of turd. Hate him almost as much as Geldy. But not quite. In fact, that's a good one on there, too. We used to like Geldy. I mean, he was okay. He was innocuous. He was harmless. But now we despise him. So there you go, Eric. Let's switch it right now when you get around to it in between bologna sandwiches. Someone you used to like a lot, but now you hate like poison. That's right up the alley of South Florida. Like you said, know your territory. Did Ashcroft brush off terror warnings? This is a horrendous story from NBC News, but it's typical. Wait till you hear that there's one line in here that just makes you want to puke. The 9/11 Commission is busy writing its final report. Well, he was too busy covering up statues to pay attention to stuff like this, covering up those naked breasts. The 9/11 Commission is busy writing its final report, but is still investigating critical facts, including the conduct of U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft. NBC News has learned that the commission has interviewed two FBI officials who contradict sworn testimony by Ashcroft about whether he brushed off terrorism warnings in the summer of 2001. In the critical months before 9/11, did Ashcroft dismiss threats of an al-Qaeda attack in his country? At issue was a July 5th, 2001 meeting. That's my mother's birthday, by the way, July 5th.
Happy birthday.
A July 5th, 2001 meeting between Ashcroft and acting FBI Director Tom Picard. That month, the threat of an al-Qaeda attack was so high, the White House summoned the FBI and domestic agencies and warned them to be on alert. Yet Picard testified to the 9/11 Commission that when he tried to brief Ashcroft just a week later on July 12th about the terror threat inside the United States, he got the brush off. Mr. Ashcroft told you he didn't want to hear about this anymore? Democratic Commission member Richard Benviste asked on April 13th. Is that correct? That is correct, Picard replied. Testifying under oath the same day, Ashcroft categorically denied the allegation, saying I did never speak to him, saying that I didn't want to hear about terrorism. However, another senior FBI official tells NBC News he vividly recalls Picard returning from the meeting that day, furious that Ashcroft had cut short the terrorism briefing. The official, now retired, has talked to the 9/11 Commission. NBC News has learned that the commission investigators also tracked down another FBI witness at the meeting that day, Ruben Garcia, head of the criminal division at that time. Several sources familiar with the investigation say Garcia confirmed to the commission that Ashcroft did indeed dismiss Picard's warnings about al-Qaeda. When you get two people coming forth and basically challenging a sworn statement by the Attorney General regarding a critical meeting in the history of the 9/11 event, you raise serious questions about the Attorney General's truthfulness, said Paul Light, a government reform expert and New York University professor. Ashcroft's version of events is supported by his top aide who attended the meeting, but another justice official also there, who Ashcroft's office claimed would dispute Picard's account, says he doesn't recall. In other words, he hasn't got enough cash yet. I don't recall the conversation that Interim Director Picard referred to, said Deputy Attorney General Larry Thompson. Experts say that in the context of 9/11, the issue is not trivial. Was there a communications breakdown between the FBI and the Department of Justice at the highest levels of each? Why don't we have impeachment hearings going on right now, damn it, for John Ashcroft, for Don Rumsfeld, for George W. Bush? Why in the world, especially with all this Bubba stuff going on in the book and all this business about Monica and the stain on the blue dress and all this other baby crap that they dragged us through the mud for two freaking years and wasted $70 million of your taxpayer money on? How come we don't have impeachment hearings right now for high crimes and misdemeanors and lying, felonies? He lied about his sex life. These people are lying about life and death. And let me say it again. There are two more American soldiers dead in Iraq this morning. And during every break, I go to CNN, MSNBC, which reported it on the crawl on their own network. They still haven't discovered that they got it on their own network. CBS, ABC, NBC. Has anybody got it?
No.
Reuters, Associated Press.
No.
The Fudge Report.
No.
Any website I can find. Can't find it. I mean, you know, it's just a matter of time. It'll finally come out.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're lucky if you even see it on the crawl. That's how minimal the lives of your American people have become. Here's a great story. I love this. And right in line with what I'm saying about where's the anger, where's the outrage, where's some action? We want some freaking action, baby. The Associated Press sued the Pentagon and the Air Force yesterday, seeking access to all records of George W. Bush's military service during the Vietnam War.
All right.
Long overdue. It's about time. Maybe the worm is starting to finally turn. Long overdue. Filed in federal court in New York, where the AP is headquartered, the lawsuit seeks access to a copy of Bush's microfilm personnel file from the Texas State Library and Archives Commission in Austin, Texas. The White House says the government's already released all the records of Bush's military service. Right. Controversy surrounds Bush's time in the Texas Air National Guard because it's unclear from the record what duties he performed for the military when he was working on the political campaign of a U.S. Senate candidate in Alabama. There are questions as to whether the file provided to the news media earlier this year is complete, says the lawsuit, adding that these questions could possibly be answered by reviewing a copy of the microfilm of Bush's personnel file in the Texas Archives. The Air National Guard of the U.S., a federal entity, has control of the microfilm, which should be disclosed in its entirety under the Freedom of Information Act, the lawsuit be saying. The White House has yet to respond to a request by the AP in April asking the president to sign a written waiver of his right to keep records of his military service confidential. Bush gave an oral waiver in a TV appearance that preceded the White House's release this year of materials concerning his National Guard service. The government did not expedite their response. They did not produce the file within the time required by law, and they will not now estimate when the file might be produced or even confirm that an effort's been initiated to retrieve a copy from the microfilm at the Texas Archives, the lawsuit says. In the absence of any privacy objection by the president, and in light of the importance of the files released in advance of the November election, says the lawsuit, AP seeks a court order to compel the release of records that are being unlawfully withheld from the public. Cover up, just like the Cheney meeting with the energy meetings, all of this stuff. Government in the dark, man. Government behind closed doors. Lie and lie. Secrecy, that's what it's all about. That story I had about the votes, about Jeb Bush and the votes the other day, if that doesn't make people just blood curdle, if that doesn't make you just run out in the streets screaming and yelling, there's no hope, you know what I mean?
There's no hope.
Oh, I knew that. Oh, now look at like I said, that Eric man, he's some nutty. He put those names on there?
It was a joint effort.
I see. Okay, which of these people best fits this description? Somebody famous you used to like but now hate like poison.
Ow!
Let's see. It's a toughie. We got Steve Geldy Geldstein. He's getting my vote. I can't stand that twerp. He is. Even Rimmer, now that he's leaving town, he'll probably come on here with us one day and tell his all those stories. He's got some great stories. Although leading so far.
Are you sure?
Phil Henry's got six of the first votes, and Geldy's got three. Fred Durst don't have any. Now, why do we hate Fred Durst?
I hate Fred Durst.
Is he the worst, Fred Durst? I never liked him in the first place. I could live with or without him. I don't hate him.
I agree. I like their music. Initially.
I like their music, yeah. I just hate Fred Durst.
Yeah, he bugs
me. Okay. You see, you're talking through your teeth again.
It's all right.
No, it's not. When he stopped talking through his teeth before, he sounded like a mensch, like somebody belongs on the air, like Dave Hagen. There's a guy that belongs on the air.
Yeah, you just say that because you know he's Jewish now.
I was just waiting for you to say that.
All right.
No, Dave is good on the air. Curtis is good.
Guy.
We got some good people on here, which makes you wonder how come we got so much of the big and then that twerp.
Ow!
How come we got them on here? We got some
sports,
people that really
sports,
belong
sports.
On here, and then we got those little. No, we got other people that can talk about sports. Curtis talks about sports. Josh there talks about sports. Dave Hagen talks sports. What do we need the big?
Oh!
I mean, again, it's not personal. He's a nice, likable guy, but man, he's got a personality like a brick, like a box of rocks. Plus, like Hank always says, he don't know what the hell he's talking about. That's a little bit of a problem. But nevertheless, I can't wait for Smarty Jones to run in the Derby again next year, can you?
Who?
Even you know more about horse racing. Even you're like an expert on harness racing only because all the names I've been dropping over the years.
Right. And I've been to one.
And you've been to Pompano Park.
Once.
Let's have a harness racing, hockey, and homo show. What do you say? All the 3-H club. 11:13 at 560 WQM with the heat of summer here right now. It's a great time to get out of that old car you've been driving. Get into a great new spiffy Toyota from Armstrong Toyota of Homestead. You'll find them on US 1 just 20 minutes off of the 836. Maybe a little far from where you live, but it's worth the drive because they're going to save you so much money, thousands on unbeatable new Toyotas. With rising gas prices, maybe you want to get a car with more fuel economy. The legendary Toyota Corolla can be yours for just $11,990 or lease it for just $209 a month. Need a great Toyota for that college or high school grant? How about the Toyota Echo, lease priced at just $199? Need a truck? The V6 Toyota Tundra regular cab can be yours for just $239 a month. Looking for the hottest new cars around? Check out the Corolla XRS and Solera convertible now in stock at Armstrong Toyota of Homestead. Their service department is open late to late weeknights to make sure they get your service work done. They're committed to 100% customer satisfaction. They're family-owned and operated. They're folks you're going to love doing business with. Armstrong Toyota of Homestead was the first dealer to offer you free tires and batteries for life, and now, wait till you hear this, they're the first to offer free replacement parts for life. That's correct. Tires, batteries, and free parts for life. Nobody nowheres does that. So instead of wasting time and cash schlepping to those mega dealers who give you the big song and the dance, scream like crazy on a radio, and then let you down, go see the GM at Armstrong's Toyota of Homestead today, David Rich, for an unbeatable deal for real. Drive a little and save a ton on your new Toyota only at Armstrong Toyota of Homestead.
Live and local, this is 560.
The radio's all yours now.
QAM.
Thing, God bless America, and pasties and a G-string up here. I'll do it.
All right.
Okay, okay, okay.
Hi, I'm Aaron Summers. You know what? You got me talking on the Passion Phones. Tell me the story about how you got... I got you down. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Holy cow.
Ha ha.
I'll tell you once more before I hang up the phone. I got you down. The lines are jammed up. Yeah, there isn't a doubt. Call up and tell me what it's all about. I got you down. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Holy cow. I'll tell you once more before I hang up the phone. I got you down.
Are you sure?
I got you down. I got you down. I got you down. I got you down. Here on the show, there's a new topic each night. Who'd you have sex with? Were they black or were they white? I got you down. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Holy cow. I'll tell you once more before I hang up the phone. I got you down.
11:19 at 560 WQM. The reason I played that is because there's a little nostalgia there back in the days when we liked Phil Henry a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the IOD days when things were really great, when things were a little bit too good for management,
oh!
And they had to go and screw it all up. Which is par for the course. When's Joe Rose coming back? Anybody
know?
I don't know.
35 votes, Phil Henry 24, somebody you used to like a lot and now you hate like poison. Geldy's got 7.
Ow!
And Fred Durst has 4, but we only got 3 names on it. We better get some more. But first, here's this fax. Good faxes today.
Yeah, but
here's Gregory in Coral Springs, his fax. It says, on page 420 of My Life, Bill Clinton writes, every one of you knows deep in your heart that we are too divided. It's time to heal America. He is so right. Bush must go away for the sake of our country's sanity. After the inauguration next year, we won't miss him one bit. Says Gregory in Coral Springs, and Gregory, you are...
Absolutely correct, sir.
Right. He was supposed to be the great healer, Bush, and of course he's the most polarizing president in the history of the country, the great divider, the great liar, the great equivocator, the great dumbo. Rick J. in Sunrise, though, here's a fascinating fact, says, I have a friend who works for the Panther organization. She brought home a copy of Geldy's demo tape that he submitted. Oh, and before I read the facts, let me just say this to you. Now, all the hoopla about who's going to replace Rimmer on the TV. See, what they're basically going to do is hire the cheapest person for all of these jobs. That's what they'll do. They give you a big song and dance about their nationwide search, just like we do at QAM, nationwide search my ass, you know?
No.
Yeah, you might find a couple of roids. But at any rate, that's all a bunch of baloney, you know. Well, we're going to bring in the best part. I mean, if Steve Goldstein was the guilty, was the best person available to do a hockey play-by-play on the Panthers, I mean, my name is Ish Kabibble, okay? And they're going to do the same for the TV. They'll lie to you, and then they'll put Craig Minervini on there, who's, you know, not a bad guy, I guess. But should he be the guy doing it?
No.
Of course not. I mean, it's just downright ridiculous. But anyway, I have a friend who works for the Panther organization. See, I just digress so I could read that first line again. She brought home a copy of Geldy's demo tape that he submitted for the play-by-play job. Needless to say, it's both hilarious and pathetic.
Ow!
Panther fans have no idea what they're in for if and when the Panthers play next season. That freaky shrill that emanated from Geldy's larynx when he simulated a Panther goal will send chills through your spine.
It's a goal! It's a goal! It's a goal!
Ow! Thanks, Richie and Sunrise. You got your thumb right on it, baby. But then again, of course, to show, if you're sucking off ass, like which is what he's been doing, sucking Panther ass for the last several years now, then all of a sudden you just find yourself all the way up there at the top. You've been hovering over Jugs McDonald like a vulture, hovering over Rimmer like a vulture, hovering over Moe like a vulture, hovering over that Joe Rose show. And the interesting part of it is, notice how now he's moved in there along with Bo Camper. It's the Geldy and Bo show this week while Joe is in limbo, doing the limbo rock. Right?
That all rhymed.
Yeah. Oh, well, we got Mo and the Big O and Geldy and Bo and No Joe, and we lost our mojo and whatever, you know, anything else that starts with
oh!
like that or ends in it.
When do we hear the crow?
And let's put on
oh!
Why the Hell Not for our dark-complected folks out there who speak his lingo, whatever the hell that is.
Lingo. Crow-go.
Okay, let's get to this pool. Let's get some names, because this is the one, you're right, this is the one they're going to, like, foam at the mouth about. Which of these people best fits this description? Someone you used to like a lot, but now you hate like poison. Hate him. WQAM, hello.
Hey, Neil, good morning.
Yes, sir, buenos dias.
Buenos dias. I have somebody for your poll.
Okay.
Somebody used to like when he was with Clinton, that's Dick Morris.
Dick Morris, yeah, that's an excellent choice. What a bastard he turned out to be.
That's right. Now I don't like Dick no more, huh?
Okay, thank you. Oh, now back in the day I could have followed that up with some, but I'm not now.
No, just
with those $80 billion fines.
Enough said.
No. Anyway, Dick Morris, that's a very good choice. Boy, what a schmuck he turned out to be. What is the story with these people? I guess, you know, whoever is paying them at the moment, they'll sing that tune, you know?
There you go.
WQAM, hello.
Hello, Neil. How are you?
Pretty good.
Neil, I see Greg Reed must be have a bonus coming up. I have to run another auction on QAM. Did you hear this morning?
Yes. Another one of those phony auctions. That sounds like you-know-who. 5670560. £560 on the AT&T. Don't get sucked in by that online auction crap, okay? It's strictly money the Beasleys are going to put in their pocket. It's not going to charity. They make it sound like it's like for some good cause, but it's not. And the reason the other people on the station, you know, promote it is because they're not in as strong a position as I am. So as a result, I can basically tell them to stick it where the moon don't shine. Right. Because I'm not getting involved with no fraud, okay? We got enough problems already without promoting frauds on this radio station. Problems you don't even know about yet. WQAM, hello.
Neil, I got something for your poll.
Yes, sir.
Somebody used to really like a lot and go out of my way to listen to or see was Dennis Miller, and now I despise him like a big heap of crap.
Yeah, that's an excellent one. Back when he was like just fluff and puff, but once he became a political right-wing lunatic, what's to like?
Yeah, but he's actually say bad, negative things about like Reagan and part of his act. Now he's like he kisses his ass.
Yeah, maybe that's why he has Phil on the show. Maybe they caught the same disease. Thanks a lot, Pally.
Thanks, Neil. Bye.
Dennis Miller, you got it? We got it.
We
see,
got
we'll
it.
Build a lot of names on this list because there are so many of these people in so little time. People we used to like a lot, and now just, bah! Like that. And for a multitude of reasons. I mean, there are some people we used to like because we enjoyed their work, but then we saw too much of them and we became mm-hmm. I'll give you one. Jerry Lewis. Hey, lady!
Oh, yeah.
Oh man.
I used
to love all those Martin and Lewis movies, and
sure.
He was okay. He was a funny guy. What's not to like? And then once he started that damn telethon thing, I think that was the point at which we just turned on him like a rat. And then when they stuck that bicycle pump up his ass with all those drugs and he blew up like a balloon, then we really just despised him. And they kept, and King would always, I think the thing with a King show
uh-huh.
is that he puts on people that he knows everybody hates, like Ross Perot, people that when you're channel surfing, you see them on there and just,
uh-huh.
oh man.
Uh-huh.
But of course it all depends on your viewpoint. that is so amazing. Larry King wearing adult Depends.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, somewhere in here I had that thing. I played it for you this morning. Although it sounds an awful lot like me. I'm not going to find it in time. You know what I'm talking about?
No. What are you talking about?
I can't find it. Oh, crying out loud. Well,
look for
I guess we won't get it.
No.
Huh? I'm not going to look for it during the break. 26 past 11 at 560 QAM.
We're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Pooped my pants.
If there's one thing Fear Factor fans love more than those outrageous high-altitude stunts, it's hearing the host shout words of encouragement from down below. And now, they're all on one terrific new CD. The best of Joe Rogan screaming on Fear Factor with memorable cuts like Come On Bro.
Come On Bro!
Hurry Up Buddy!
Hurry Up Buddy!
And You Can Do It Man!
You Can Do It Man!
The best of Joe Rogan screaming on Fear Factor also includes favorites like This Is For 50 Grand My Brother.
This Is For 50 Grand My Brother.
And Money's On The Line Guy.
Money's On The Line Guy.
A CD collection without the best of Joe Rogan screaming on Fear Factor is like a day without eating cow eyeballs. And if you order now, you'll also receive this 10 CD box set of Joe Rogan saying, dude,
dude, dude,
dude,
dude, don't delay. Show the world that good taste is not a factor and order your copy today.
Operators are standing by on a narrow platform suspended 100 feet above the parking lot of an abandoned factory somewhere in greater Los Angeles. Call now.
29 till noon at 560 WQM. Happy Wednesday to you. Kerry has secretive meeting with Edwards.
Oh, my God.
Senator John Kerry held a brief secretive meeting with potential running mate John Edwards yesterday, a spur-of-the-moment session in the Capitol that kept an unusual day of hurry-up-and-wait in the heavily scripted life of the Democratic presidential candidate. The two men met in the president's tea room, or the president's room, whether they knew the name or not, an ornate sitting room just off the Senate chamber, and they declined to speak with reporters afterward. While the brevity of the session indicated it was less than a full-fledged vice presidential interview, it came roughly a month before the opening of the Democratic National Convention, and at a time when Edwards is frequently mentioned as a potential running mate. You go, John. We like him. He's okay. Never stole a freight train.
Good-looking guy.
Senator Kerry has made clear that he wants the whole process to be quiet and confidential, which I think is the correct way to do it, Edwards told reporters earlier in the day. Because of that, I'm silent. I'm mum. The meeting came on an unusual day for Kerry, who spent it not campaigning for votes in New Mexico as originally scheduled, but in the Capitol. He had come to cast a vote to increase funding for veterans' health care. Republicans eager to deny Kerry the moment he sought maneuver to prevent a roll call. Playing games with health care for veterans. Nice. Same old crap, man. It just goes on. Both parties, they play all the games all the time. Nobel winners back, Kerry. Say Bush ignores science. Huh, that's a shock, ain't it?
I'm so dismayed.
Democrat John Kerry picked up the endorsement on Monday of 48 Nobel Prize-winning scientists who attacked President Bush for compromising our future by shortchanging scientific research. And, of course, they are
absolutely correct.
The Bush administration has ignored unbiased scientific advice in the policymaking that is so important to our collective welfare. The 48 scientists who won Nobels in chemistry, physics, and medicine dating back to 1967 said in an open letter released by the Democratic presidential candidate's campaign, the scientists, who included 2003 chemistry winners Peter Agre and Roderick MacKinnon, accused the Bush administration of undermining America's future by reducing funding for science and turning away scientific talent with restrictive immigration policies. John Kerry will change all this, they said. John Kerry will restore science to its appropriate place in government. Why do we need science when we got prayer, right?
Right.
Oy.
There you go.
What did we ever get from science?
In fact,
anyway,
we had Bush in that black church this morning. Did you see any of that on CNN?
More will keep its R.
Yeah, I saw it.
Brother. Bop, 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 beep, beep, and talking again about faith and faith. I'll tell you one thing. As long as he's in here, we haven't got a prayer. I'll guarantee you that. All this religious horse crap. Speaking of dark folks, the shouting heard through the thick walls and solemn faces on the of the black lawmakers who left the meeting gave it away before Ralph Nader even said a word. The shouting heard through the thick walls. How do you like that? He isn't abandoning his independent candidacy for the president, despite pleas from the Congressional Black Caucus that he should. They feel passionately about their strategy, and we feel passionately about our strategy, the egotistical, pompous old ass, Nader said Tuesday after meeting for almost an hour with more than a dozen black Democrats in the basement of the U.S. Capitol. They should have tied him up and left him there. Nader's strategy is to help weaken President Bush through his progressive candidacy, harvesting support for congressional Democrats in the process. Sure. The Black Caucus strategy is to push him out of the race as soon as possible to avoid siphoning too much support from Democratic candidate John Kerry. That, they claim, is a primary reason Al Gore lost Florida 4 years ago, or so it's alleged. Both sides acknowledge afterwards there was little progress toward a meeting of the minds. it became abundantly clear to us that this was about Ralph Nader. And we were sorely disappointed, said Caucus Chairman Elijah Cummings, Democrat of Maryland. If nothing else, we believe we've had an impact on his conscience. Now we pray he'll synchronize his conscience with his conduct. The only problem is, Elijah, that he can't synchronize his ego. That's the problem. If the goal is to force him out, Nader says that will never be an option. He says there needs to be two fronts to defeat the president. He's got a strategy to weaken him, even in the case of an October surprise.
He's a madman.
He's an egotistical, pompous ass, and those who would vote for him are crazier than he is. If they haven't learned their lesson from four or three, whatever it is, almost 4 years ago, then heaven help us. You know what I mean?
Hey, oh, God!
I can't even help you. Now, the fact that you're sending your daughter to a Japan...
Yeah.
To exchange school. I probably shouldn't read this story. It's on our website.
Oh, go for it.
Pupil who fell asleep told her write in own blood.
Yeah, that'll straighten her out.
A Japanese boy who fell asleep in class was ordered to write an essay in his own blood as an apology to his teacher. The 17-year-old was given a box cutter, probably one of those left over from that plane in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
A box cutter and a piece of paper and told by the teacher to write not in pencil but in blood because he was not sufficiently repentant. The boy sliced open the index finger on his left hand and used the blood as ink. To ask a student to write in their own blood is something I just can't imagine, said Hiroki Dan, headmaster of the school in Fukuoka, southern Japan. Watch it. The 40-year-old teacher who's not been named has apologized to the boy and his parents. He's expected to resume teaching this week. He's
apologized.
Yeah, I want to hear that Mo thing again.
I stand in front of you now, 2 years later, and say, it took me a little while, I'm a little slow learner, but, Neil, I apologize.
Oh!
It's radio.
You are the truth.
Ow!
That's all it took. In the past, teachers referred to as churchmen have traditionally been held in high esteem by Japanese society. This incident will further damage a profession whose reputation is already reeling. In recent months, several teachers have been arrested for having sex with their students, George. Another was sacked after taking his students on a field trip to a massage parlor.
Oh.
They probably wanted them to relax. There's a lot of stress and tension before you're taking those exams, right?
They have those public baths over there that are very popular.
Especially those proctological exams.
Rectum.
567-0560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. Let's get back to this poll now. This is the good one. I apologize for that other one. Which of these people best fits this description? Somebody famous you used to like, but now hate like poison. Phil Henry, 43. Dennis Miller, 18. Geldy Geldstein's got 15.
Ow!
Fred Durst, 6. Dick Morris, 4. Jerry Lewis, 4 out of the first 90 vote. WQAM, hello.
How you doing, Uncle Neil?
Okay, sir.
I don't have anything for the poll, but just with what Bush said today, that it's been not in America's soul... And being
okay, you're chronic. Have a great day. 5670560, pound 560. He's always the tip off on him. It's always Uncle Neil, you know? Chronic.
Right.
You're a good guy, but leave the phone down. Put the phone down and leave it down. Talk to us next year if we're all still here. WQAM, hello.
Yeah, a comment about Fahrenheit 451.
Yes, sir.
I just want to know, I'm so upset about all this that I just might have to skip my afternoon latte.
Okay.
I'm really upset. I would vote against Bush, but I just don't feel like registering a vote and getting tied up with the jury, getting called by the jury.
You can make people do anything if they're afraid.
The FAA is taking the action to close all of the airports in the United States.
All commercial and airline traffic was grounded.
But we had some airplanes authorized at the highest levels of our government to pick up Osama bin Laden's family members and transport them out of this country.
In the middle of the war, corporations decided to hold a conference to figure out how much money could be made.
Once that oil starts flowing, it's going to be lots of money. Whatever it costs, the government will pay you.
It's going to be good for business, bad for the people.
Congressman, trying to get members of Congress to get their kids to enlist in the Army and go over to Iraq.
The USA Patriot Act allows for searches of medical and financial records.
It gives law enforcement almost unlimited power.
They wait till the middle of the night. It's printed in the middle of the night.
How could Congress pass this Patriot Act without even reading it?
Sit down, my son.
Well, we don't read most of the bills.
No one read it.
Members of Congress, this is Michael Moore. I would like to read you...
I think that was Ray Bradbury calling before.
Let the eagle soar.
From
doors of power.
Congressman? Congressman?
To the streets of small town America. To the front lines.
This is an impressive crowd, the haves and the have-mores. Some people call you the elite. I call you my base.
Comes the true story that will make your temperature rise.
I call upon all nations to do everything they can to stop these terrorist killers. Thank you. Now watch this drive.
Sports Radio 560, QAM. Tonight on The Apprentice, George W. is called to the boardroom.
So, it comes down to a candidate with a high school diploma who has led well, but is offered a loose cannon. This is a tough choice. Actually, this is the toughest choice I've had to make. The reality is,
George,
you're dealing with multi-billion dollar businesses here. The consequences of hiring a live wire like you could be costly and devastating. And I have to say, you're fired.
What? I'm fired? Oh, no, my daddy's going to kill me. Hey, give me another chance. Will you? Just 4 more years. That's all I want. Just give me 4 more years.
You're fired. It's 11:45, and, you know, it's interesting that we have this unbiased news like on the Fudge Report.
Yeah.
If you look on there today... All he's got, in fact, I'm still searching for the story about the two American soldiers who died in Iraq this morning, but I can't find the story. But much more important than that is all the propaganda about, oh, well, Clinton's book isn't selling well in Hot Springs, and it's not selling well in Opa-locka, and it's not selling. In the meantime, I just checked CNN Money, and it says Clinton's My Life sets record. One-day sales record at Barnes & Noble exceeds expectations at Borders. But according to Ms. Fudge, who evidently is on the phone right now with Miss Coulter and with what's-her-name, Laura Ingraham, and with all that, Richard Mellon Scaife. Oh, no, we got to make it appear that Clinton's book, nobody's buying that piece of crap.
All over the news last night, it was all these people getting turned away because they were only selling the advanced order.
First-day sales of Bill Clinton's presidential memoirs, My Life, were fast and furious today, exceeding sales expectations at some of the nation's largest booksellers. In spite of the lies that Miss Fudge is putting on there, I'm surprised she don't have all the flashing lights on there again, like John Kerry and the intern trying to peddle that kind of crap again. According to Barnes & Noble, whose Rockefeller Center location in New York City was where the former president made his first book signing appearance, the book is already projected to have set a single-day nonfiction sales record of between 90 to 100,000 books sold nationwide. A single day. In fact, let me look at that thing, at that Fudge Report.
Oh, that thing.
You'll just pee in your pants when you hear this. The whole right-hand column in his website right now, Clinton, let's see, sales slow in Florida, Clinton book sales quiet in Arizona, memoirs not on Houston's bestseller list, tomes slow out of the gate in Cincinnati, not flying off the shelves in Houston or in the Hudson Valley, mixed reaction Manitowoc. Oh, I'm always concerned about Manitowoc. Mixed book sales in Northeast Georgia. Oh, yeah, Northeast Georgia, right. In Aintree, they're not buying it too big because they don't got no bookstores up there. Creates a little hoopla in San Antonio. Not selling in the Shenandoah Valley. Book not so magical in Wichita Falls. Oh, my God.
That's like a
Hoosiers react
probably
to the memoirs. Just hype? Ask Gainesville. Sales, oh, and it just goes on and on. The whole thing is to tell you how his book is selling so poorly. Man, oh, man, what a pathetic faggot you are, Miss Fudge. God almighty. Hundreds of fans lined up outside the store for several hours to get an autographed copy of the book. Barnes & Noble said Clinton signed about 2,217 copies of My Life. Opening day sales of the book at Borders Group exceeded Hillary Clinton's book, Living History. We're estimating that the first day sales of Bill Clinton's book were more than double of what we sold on the first day for Hillary. In other words, it was huge and perhaps the largest nonfiction title ever for us, said Jeffrey Dahlman, spokeswoman for Borders, who declined to give actual sales numbers. See, this is what the right wing does, man. All their propaganda specialists, they just make stuff up, and they just lie, and they lie, and they lie, and they just, like the pill popper, they just lie like crazy. Hillary Clinton's book, Living History, sold over 1 million copies after its release last June. Dahlman said sales of My Life were especially strong at Borders stores. Well, they may not be doing too well in Manitowoc or whatever that was, but they're doing big in New York, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Atlanta, Los Angeles, San Francisco, adding that the sales of the audio edition of the book were also nearing what we saw as sales of the Harry Potter audio editions.
Oh, and those minor markets you just mentioned?
Yes. minor, like New York, Washington, the Chicago, Atlanta, LA. In other words, where the living and breathing people are, people in IQ larger than the thumb size. In Aintree, though, it ain't doing too good, or in Wichita Falls. Oh, how sad. How pathetic. How tragic. Okay, let's get back to the poll. Get some names on here, okay? I feel like I'm leaving everybody down. Phil Henry 53. Which of these people best fits this description? Somebody you used to like a lot, but now you hate like poison. Phil's got 53. Dennis Miller's catching up, 40. Geldy's got 21.
Ow!
The squeaker. Fred Durst, 9. Jerry Lewis, 9. And Dick Morris, 5. In fact, maybe this poll will be a squeaker.
Ow!
WQAM, hello.
Yes, I'm calling with a name for...
yes, sir, go ahead.
Poll.
Yeah.
Todd Schnitt.
Okay. Todd the Schnittmeister. Rush Jr., I think, is who he's talking about. Todd, now be careful how we spell that, Josh.
Right.
Todd Schnitt on WIOD afternoons, dropping like a rock in those numbers, by the way. Now, you're going to be away next week.
Right.
So you won't be there for the big trend coming out. You know, I'm thinking about this spring book, and boy, are we going to be in trouble when we lose that big March. We better have a gigantic June, I'll tell you that right now, because we're going to lose that 9.2 in men 25-54 in March. Not this next time, but the time after that when the whole book comes out. But that's okay, because the audience don't care.
Yeah, whatever.
And also, I think I finally, after all these years, learned my lesson after this last debacle we had with the trends. I'm not going to do it that way anymore. I'll just let all the stuff come in, and then I'll put it together during the break, and then I'll pour over it on the air. As opposed to doing it the other way. It's so clumsy, and it's bad radio, and it just and it's annoying to me because I got crap laid out all over the counter here. It just ain't good. WQAM, hello.
Yeah, I got one for your poll, Neil.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just tell me what your problem is, Steve Kane.
WQAM, hello. Steve Kane, put him on there. QAM, hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Speak to Neil.
Speaking. Okay, nice talking to you. WQAM, hello. What was the short conversation?
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, Neil, this is Victor. I just was calling in reference. I wanted to call you on Monday.
Yes, Victor.
About the walk-off home run.
Oh, God.
I hope it's not a sore subject.
It's sore. It's healing up pretty good, though.
Yeah, I heard about that. Well, anyways, listen, you know what us Cubans used when we played? I played baseball down here in South Florida all my life, college, and the Cubans used to say, lo dejamos en el terreno, which translate to we left them in the field. We left them on the field.
Yeah.
So it could be a leave them on the field home run.
I still like that go homer. Don't you think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
That says it so well, you know, go home. I mean, walk off sounds so boring. It sounds like something that Dave Van Boring invented. God, coma inducing. It's a walk off home run. Hey, holy cow. Jeez. Somebody kick that guy in the ass and wake him up a little bit. Man, he is just terminal. Why you keep picking on Dave Van Boring? Because he deserves it. I mean, one thing I'll say about my buddy Mo, at least he makes the Dolphin games exciting. So he makes a few mistakes here and there. When you get to be 90, you'll make some mistakes too. You know, like, you know, you'll fill the bag on at the wrong time. But I'm starting to, like,
the
turn.
Right time.
Huh?
It's always the right time.
That's not what Geldy said.
No!
In fact, from what I'm hearing, Mo is so pissed at him now that he's saving up for when Geldy comes back, if Joe Rose ever comes back. I'll tell you one thing. You know, I did tell the powers that be that I really don't give a crap what they put on in the morning, but we're not following Geldy. I mean, this better be a very temporary thing, or I'm going to take most of the summer off.
Don't get hasty.
I'm not going to be following that Geldy. Oh, man, what a twerp.
It's a goal, it's a goal, it's a goal. Oh, it's a penalty.
5670560, pound 5. And by the way, Rimmer hates you like poison too, Geldy. Just now that he's leaving, we can tell you that. Almost as much as he hates Denise Potvin. WQAM, hello. WQAM, hello. WQAM, hello.
Hi, this is Geraldo Rivera calling, and I want to be on your list.
WQAM, hello.
Hey, Neil, how are you today?
Okay.
Good. I want to let you know how much I appreciate you. I just took a road trip from here to Indiana and back, and
yes,
the vile that these people on the radios are spilling about the hatred of Clinton and the Democrats and everybody else and the liberals is unreal.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't believe that people actually listen and believe what some of these people say.
Well, there's a lot of dumb people out there. Just keep that in mind. It'll make you feel better about life.
It is. And on the other subject, I always thought it was walk-on home run, not walk-off home run.
Walk-on?
Yeah, that he walked on and hit a home run. Walk-on home run.
Okay. Quit right your head, Callie. Have a great day. Wow. Whatever it is, it's walk off, but it's just stupid. It's an idiotic thing, and again, it was invented by a bunch of nerds trying to be clever and cute and creative and to do something different there at ESPN because they got 24 hours to fill with the same swirl and the same scores and the same, you know, four runs, five hits, two errors, and the three runs, you know, all of that crap over and over again. So they got to keep trying to spice it up. So they make up a bunch of crap, and punks like Josh there think it's been around for a long time, which it hasn't.
It was Eckersley.
It was Dennis Eckersley. That's what I heard from somebody who knows your stuff. Now, why did he do it again?
I don't know. He's the one who made it, you know, a saying, a common saying.
Well, that's right. Now he's a color commentator or something, right?
Yeah.
For who?
I don't know.
Dennis Eckersley. Maybe the A's?
Maybe the
Red Sox?
I don't know. I know he does TV. I don't know if he's for...
Well, he's just another dumb ex-jock, okay, with a big mustache. 5670560, #560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. Howard Cosell, I don't care what my friend Dave Johnson says about it. Howard Cosell had his thumb right on the way. He talked about that jockocracy, how sad it is, all these illiterate and semi-literate ex-jocks taking over as alleged broadcasters. I'll give you one that just makes my blood boil, and that's Ken Harrelson, the Hawk with the White Sox. Put it on the board. He is brutal. Awful. And he's been there how many years now?
About 30, man.
Man, he just sucks. The day of the great sportscaster, man, it's down the drain. Am I right?
Absolutely.
You only got Mo left now. And, of course, the Mad Dog.
All right.
He's just the colored guy. 5670560. Pound five.
Crow.
They always thought the Crow was the colored guy.
Live and local. We're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
It's Steve Goldstein, but you can call me Geldy. Whenever I'm in town, I listen to... Wait a minute, I am in town. It's the 12th to 1 hour. Doc!
Hi, folks. Dennis Miller here, and I'm standing here with President George W. Bush, the man I'm endorsing for re-election.
Hey, everybody.
Well, George here is doing a great job. I mean, you know, when it comes to getting it done, he makes Churchill look like Neville Chamberlain. Isn't that right, sir?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's my favorite basketball player.
Right, and President Bush really stands up to the terrorists. I'll tell you, better than the Democrats. I mean, come on. Those guys have the backbone of a nematode on muscle relaxers, okay?
Yeah, I think I used to lick nematodes back in my frat days.
And speaking of licking, George W. Bush is going to give the Democrats a bigger licking than Hooch Kid Turner.
Well, I know what Hooch is, but who's Turner?
George W. Bush is going to turn this economy around faster than little Reagan's cranium in The Exorcist.
I didn't know Ronald Reagan was in that movie.
I mean, come on, I don't mean to go off on a rant here, but George W. is to proactive foreign policy what Heisenberg was to quantum physics, okay?
I was always good at phys ed.
So please, folks, come November 2004... vote for George W. Bush. Trust me on this one. You'll be happier than Reuben Studdard with a fistful of Ponderosa coupons.
I think I get that one.
Oh, good.
Paid for by the surprising new friends of George W. Bush.
Oh, one at 560 WQAM. Okay, let's take a look at that poll so far. Which of these people best fits this description? Somebody famous you used to like, but now you hate like poison. We got a squeaker going on, like I said. Bill Henry, 58. Dennis Miller, 56. It's tight. Geldy's got 24. Fred Durst, 13. Jerry Lewis, a dozen. Dick Morris, 5. Todd Schnitz got a pair. And Steve Kane. Mr. Ego's got 1. You'll be disturbed to know that the Clinton memoir is a no first day bestseller in Fort Wayne, not selling in Virginia Beach, sales quiet in Arizona, no bestseller in Billings, and no lines for the book in Lubbock. Memoirs don't stir Saginaw. And I'm serious. I'm reading from today's Fudge Report. Miss Fudge, she must be... got her knickers in a all wrapped around her thing.
So if there was an alien invasion and they wiped out half,
maybe she's got her knickers wrapped around somebody else's thing. Yes,
he would have a story that Anchorage, Alaska, was not hit by an alien attack.
Right, by an alien attack. 5670560 #560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. Need about another 20,000-30,000 names for this poll today. WQAM, hello.
Robert Novak, puke.
He used to like him, and now he hates him like poison. Well, I'm surprised that anybody ever liked him, even his mommy. But we'll put him on there. Robert Novak is enough to make anybody gag. How come he isn't in jail, by the way, for outing Valerie
right.
Plame?
Good question.
WQAM, hello.
Deion Sanders.
Deion Sanders, there you go. Must be the money. Now, what is that under? Is that under Deion or is it under...
Sitting at home.
Oh, that's
what?
A different one.
What word did he say?
He said sitting at home.
Oh.
That was Brian Murray. He's got a little bit of a problem there.
That was
it's
Josh.
Old BM. By the way, BM will never last the year in Ottawa, even if they don't play. Line 9 is ringing. WQAM, hello.
Hi. May I speak with Neil?
Speaking.
Hey, Neil, is Dick Morris the guy who worked for Clinton?
Yes.
That was caught cheating on his wife?
He was caught cheating on his wife?
Yeah, on his own wife, not with Bill's wife.
I don't remember. I don't recall.
Okay, I thought that was the one, and he's every time.
It might have been. He's a turncoat, I know. Yeah, I guess he was. But he's a turncoat. He's turned right wing all of a sudden.
Right.
Very anti Clinton.
I think he was caught cheating on his wife, and then
well, so that's how unusual that is, right?
Right. Son of a gun. Okay.
Okay, maybe he was hanging out with Bob Livingston. 5670560. All of this business about, oh my gosh, the president cheat. And that's why this is also demeaning these stupid ass interviews like that Oprah thing yesterday. Why did he do it? Because they all do it, all right? Because he's a guy. Because he's horny, all right? That's the answer. Because I was horny.
Because
I'm married
me.
To a bull dyke. Because I'm married to the ice princess. That's all you got to say. Like, he owes an explanation about his
right.
banana business. Just mind your own business, Oprah. How come you're not hitched to anybody, you damn rich bitch? That he should have turned it right around and looked her right in the face and said, how come you're still single, sweetheart? What's your real story? Huh?
We'll
maybe you and Hillary would like to get a little action going.
We'll be back after this.
You know, Michael Moore is always talking about Oprah for president. How about Hillary and Oprah as her running mate?
Ooh,
underline the mate part.
Black and white cookie.
And Bubba can just have his own private orifice. 5670560. Oh, he already does. #560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. WQAM, hello.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
This is Neil.
Speaking.
How are you doing, Neil?
Great.
I got one for the poll. A famous person I did like. Now
yes.
I hate like poison and wrote him a long letter and told him how much I hated him, and that's Ralph Nader.
Good for you.
Sorry, but I hate his guts.
Me too. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
He don't like the big ego, man. Ralph Nader, who used to be a guy that a lot of people admired, especially if you drove a Corvair like I did in 1960 and the fan belt kept breaking, then you liked Ralph Nader. But other than that, and again, a guy that talks so much about honesty and integrity, and here he gets his vice presidential, his running mate from the Green Party, which is not because the guy's qualified. The guy's a perennial loser in California. But because of the fact that he's a member of the Green Party, and therefore this is going to get him on a ballot in 22 states, automatic, which he wouldn't get on in the first place. In fact, there's a lot of states he's not going to get on the ballot. Thank goodness. Thank the Lord. Thank
Neil God.
Yeah. All of these politicians all talking about honesty and integrity. Let me say it again. 99-1 in the Senate yesterday. Only John Breaux of Louisiana, who's retiring at the end of the year, he's the only one with the balls to vote against that Indecency Act, broadcast indecency. 99, including all of the others, Kennedy and Feingold, you name it, McCain, all of them. The word police, they're doing it, baby. God forbid. We got two more soldiers. I still can't find that story, by the way. I'm going to keep looking until the cows come home. That goes to show you the way the media manipulates the news. They just tell you whatever they... See, it's not good for business to tell you that more soldiers are
right.
still dying, because everything's supposed to be fine now.
Oh, we're fine.
Even though, of course, the terrorists are now saying they're going to kill the new guy we stuck in there in Iraq, the temporary, the pro tem, whatever the hell the guy's name is. They're going to kill his ass, and they probably will. Not a week goes by that they don't kill somebody in that new governing council, and just wait till next week. A week from today, June...
About 30, man.
30, the big handover day. You think you've seen Soros so far, you ain't seen nothing yet.
No, you're just negative.
Progress in Iraq is disputed, by the way, says the International Herald Tribune, David Stout. The United States may have to keep troops in Iraq for years to come, despite enormous progress in bringing peace to that country. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Don't Call Me Heinrich Himmler Wolfowitz said yesterday. Wolfowitz's prediction, coupled with a high-ranking general's warning that we should expect more violence, not less, in the near future, highlighted a sometimes contentious hearing of the House Armed Services Committee. Wolfowitz, who returned recently from a tour of Iraq, said he had heard military people from the U.S. and their allies say again and again that the people back home just didn't realize how much progress is being achieved in Iraq as it moved towards sovereignty on June...
About 30, man!
It's something we heard almost everywhere, from Iraqis, from Americans, from a British general down in Basra, Wolfowitz said. What doesn't get through in all the reporting on problems is there's also been enormous progress. But Representative Ike Skelton of Missouri, no relation to Red, the panel's ranking Democrat, was not persuaded. Conceding that much had been accomplished in Iraq, he asserted that progress had been slowed by the security quagmire that exists there now. I see, Mr. Secretary, two Iraq skeletons. Said one is the optimistic Iraq that you describe, and we thank you for your testimony, and the other Iraq is the one that I see every morning with the violence, the death of soldiers and Marines. I must tell you, it breaks my heart a little bit more every day. Maybe that's why they're not reporting the latest deaths, because they just don't want to break everybody's heart. When Skelton asked Wolfowitz what lessons we... See, they made a big deal about the South Korean getting beheaded the other day, which, quite frankly, was a horrible thing. But nevertheless, why do we care more about South Korean prisoners than we care about American soldiers? See what I'm saying?
Good question.
Yeah. When Skelton asked Wolfowitz what lessons he had absorbed in the past 15 months, or roughly since all-out war ended and the mopping up and peacekeeping began, Wolfowitz responded at length about the evils of Saddam Hussein, his henchmen, and their followers. Skelton then broke in, Mr. Secretary, let me interrupt if I may. My question is, what lessons have we learned? What have you learned in the last 15 months? Wolfowitz replied that military planners might have underestimated how persistent the anti-American forces might have been, even after the several dozen leaders of the Baghdad regime had been killed or captured. Continuing, Wolfowitz said that the Iraqis themselves must eventually impose security on their country, not just to stabilize the government, but to allow ordinary Iraqis to go about their lives. That is, if they ever get electricity and water, things like that. Skelton then asked, do you think we might be there then a good number of years? I think it's entirely possible, Wolfowitz replied, but what I think is also nearly certain is the more they step up, and they'll be doing so more and more each month, the less and less we'll have to do. Wolfowitz added, as they take over more responsibility, we'll be able to let them be in the front lines and... for us to be in a supporting position. Right. Just like those Iraqi police and soldiers who, like, run away. They do that to walk off home run deal. They do the walk off defend our country deal. Yeah, they just walk off. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. Mad Dog from Iceland, from Reykjavik, from that phony baloney golf tournament at 2. The Humper at 4 in the studio. Marlins on deck 630. 705, it's the Atlanta Braves at the Marlins. And then you got Eddie Kay after the game. WQAM, hello.
Yeah, Neil.
Yes, sir.
Latest report out for you. Clinton book sales are slumping in Antarctica.
That's what I heard. And Mad Dog said in Reykjavik they're kind of slow this afternoon.
And I have one question for you. What's up with Joe Rose? They put out an Amber Alert for him yet?
Yeah, in fact, we got a puce alert for Joe.
And one last thing. Do you have any news on what Pharrell's doing?
No, I don't.
No
I
idea?
I think he's still in Atlanta.
Did someone has the onions to hire him in this brave new world?
What just happened there? Oh, look at that. I moved the thing. That's a good thing I just looked. Thank you so
Somebody
much for whatever
else?
You just did. I moved the thing.
Wah.
I was going to play that for him. The chickens haven't come home to roost with the nightmares that Pharrell left for us, but in time you'll find out. Like Linda Blair said, in time. You'll see. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon line. WQAM, hello.
Uncle Neil.
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
Same old stuff, man. SOS pads.
You know,
it's
about 400 degrees out here.
Yeah.
I got a couple walk-off names for your walk-off pole. And don't you forget to walk that pole off either.
Yeah.
Phil Jackson.
Okay. Phil Jackson, there you go. That's the one. The other one, I guess he got disconnected. We don't want a couple of names. We want one name. You got it? Let me say it again. We don't want a couple. We don't want a few. We don't want several. We don't want a bunch of names. We want one. Here's the question again. Which one and only one of these people best fits this description? Somebody famous you used to like, but now you hate like poison, okay?
Right,
which
yeah.
Solamente uno.
How many can I give you?
A few. WQAM, hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Here's the winner, Colin Powell.
Colin Powell is magnificent. That's a good one. Thank you so much. Sounds like he's chewing on his cut, but he had a good choice there. Roland Colin, man. Everybody used to like Colin because he was like, hopefully he was the sane one there.
Which
was the rational
true,
one.
Which is the true Colin, though? Was that the real one or is this the real one?
Well, you know, once you sell out and lie as many times as he has now, I think we found a real, we found his true colors. Can I say that? Oh. 12 minutes past noon at 560 WQM. If you're sick and tired of your PC being attacked by browser pop-up windows, being watched by spyware, and getting nothing but virus emails from your friends and coworkers, the easiest way to deal with those bugs is to get you a Macintosh from Mac Center, the Apple specialist in Fort Lauderdale. The Macintosh is built on an entirely different basis than Windows, so all those PC pests just can't hurt the Mac. The technology experts at Mac Center can show you that it's easy to change to the Mac with thousands of programs available, including ones you already are used to, like Microsoft Word and Excel. They'll even take your old computer as a trade-in. So make the change today by calling the Mac Center, 954-486-5500. You won't get a better deal on your Mac or iPod anyplace else in South Florida because Mac Center is the home of the 5% rebate on every purchase. Come in before June 30th.
About 30, man.
And register to win the hard-to-find iPod Mini. That's Mac Center on Commercial Boulevard. Call them at 954-486-5500. That's 954-486-5500. Be sure to mention QAM for extra savings at the Mac Center.
Live and local. This is Sports Radio 560. QAM.
Oh, what's
finally got a call here. The number one rated Mo Howard and David in his own. At least according to my aspirations. Stay away from me. I don't even know how you have children. Miramar, hello.
Yes, I want your take on Jay Fiedler.
Oh, well, Jay Fiedler is a great quarterback and a good Jew.
I like Jay Fiedler.
Well, not to mention he's got extraordinarily smooth buttocks.
Oh, yeah!
You've got to be careful what you say here.
Okay, Doc. Thank you, Mo.
No, wait a minute. Don't go.
But I have nothing else to say.
Well, how about this? How's the weather down there in Miramar?
I'm right down the street from you.
Oh, yeah.
I have to go.
Oh, wait. By the way, something.
No, I have to go.
Look, I tell you what. I'll hold you over the break. How's that, huh? I'll give you one of my old tank T-shirts. How's that?
Bye-bye, Doc.
No, wait! That was the only caller we had.
The veins on your nose is glowing again. Wow! You got big purple veins on your nose and on your face. And around those oozing pimples, you call eye. If you go look in the mirror, you'll see a roadmap of insolence. You got your hairpiece on, way too tight.
My nose glows when something stings. Almost every day I think. And my veins, they start to tickle. My adenoid, door. Yeah, I look like a ball in a bag. That's because I'm a crappy old bag. Just like a nose that's filled with purple veins.
Something like that you want to see on Science Channel Discovery. Our nose has a bleeding purple vein.
There's my main man, the Mo-Meister.
Absolutely.
He's doing it. In fact, every time he smacks Gildy, I like him just a little bit more, you know?
Pardon?
Trump 19 at 560. What, are you distracted there? What's going on, lunch?
Oh, nothing. Yeah, well, KFC just finished it.
KFC? Oh, my God.
It's right across the street.
Oh, kitchen fried chicken? Kitchen fresh chicken?
Sure.
Whatever the hell they're calling it. Are they really calling it that now?
I don't know what they call it.
Speaking of that, I mean, what a great segue. Mary-Kate Olsen seeks treatment for eating disorder. Oh, no.
Fat cow.
Teen actress Mary-Kate Olsen, who with her twin sister Ashley has grown into an American pop icon and fashion brand, has entered a program for treatment of an eating disorder reported to be anorexia. Oh, wait a minute. Anorexia, that's bulimia, right? Puking?
Puking is bulimia, right.
Anorexia is like Karen Carpenter
eating.
Disease.
Yeah.
The 18-year-old co-star last month's film, New York Minute, recently entered a treatment facility to seek professional help for a health-related issue. Publicist Michael Pagnotta said yesterday, she's thankful for the encouragement and support of her friends and family who are with her every step of the way, he's added, all the way to the refrigerator. Maybe if they would have given her a sandwich before, that would have helped. Maybe a little KFC, a little takeout.
She'd have spat it out.
A person, oh man, but I'm not saying it.
Don't.
A person familiar with the situation told Reuters that Olsen was suffering from an eating disorder. She entered a facility during the past week or 10 days, was expected to remain in treatment for about a month. Us Weekly magazine, in the cover story of its upcoming issue, identified the disorder as anorexia. Speculation about Olsen's real thin figure has been a subject of tabloids, gossip columns, and the internet for weeks. The actress herself poked fun at the issue during the twins' recent appearance on Saturday Night Live, shouting to an extra playing herself, "You're too skinny, eat a sandwich." Pagnotta said both sisters, who turned 18 June 13, which means they're legal now, are going ahead with plans to attend NYU together in the fall. But Ashley Olsen will be making a planned trip later this month to Australia and New Zealand without Mary-Kate to launch overseas promotions of New York Minute, the sisters' first theatrical feature. And don't forget this Friday, Fahrenheit 9/11. Or is that Fahrenheit 451? That was Ray Bradbury that called before that illiterate retard trying to be a comedian. I'm very upset, but I don't want to do jury duty. Although probably he was serious. It's a typical South Floridian. 56705. Oh, there's that Negroponte, that, man. Lunatic.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's probably the nicest thing that's ever been said about him.
Absolutely.
WQAM, hello.
Yes, yeah, can you help me?
Speaking.
All right, Neil, I'd like to say, add one to your poll, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Don't like him no more, huh?
Oh, no, hell no.
Now that he's the governor. Okay, thank you. And get that phone out of your cheek. 5670560, let's put Arnold on there, and we don't apologize for doing that. I can't stand him.
I never
liked him in the first place.
Not your type.
No, not in the least bit. Not anybody's type. Well, maybe Maria. He must have something that doesn't meet the... Although not from what we hear.
No. Well, there's a picture of him, too.
He ain't no Rasputin, I'll tell you that.
Who is?
WQAM, hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good. You still have your list? I got one that I used to hate, but now I love.
Well, that was the first poll. Go ahead.
Oh,
who is it?
Well, Chelsea Clinton.
Chesty.
Good now.
Oh, God. Oh, get this guy some help. Chesty Clinton.
Chesty Clinton, sure.
Oh, man. Woo, they don't come no bestie than Chesty.
She had a makeover, apparently.
Yeah, she needs a makeover, only beginning with... Oh, again, back in the day, I might have said something about that, but I better not.
No, just let it go.
She is nasty. She is grotesque. We've been through that a million times about, daughter. In fact, even Nixon's starting to look pretty good about that now. Pat Nixon, not Pat, she was gross. She was butchered than he was. What was the daughter? Julie, right?
I don't know.
Julie, and he had Julie and Trish. I don't remember what Trisha, but Julie was married to David Eisenhower. He looked kind of human, and her, they were like, especially compared to like Chelsea and Amy Carter. Man, oh man. Well, I wouldn't surprise. One day we're going to find a photo somewhere, a hidden photo. Amy Carter and one of the Beasleys up in that tree in Aintree strumming a banjo together. Guaranteed. In fact, that might have been Amy in that movie. WQAM, hello.
Wow, what is this world coming to? You and Howard kiss and make up and turn against Geldy? Next thing you know, there'll be peace. Next thing you know, there's going to be peace in the Middle East.
That's right.
And he will come and on Armageddon and we'll rise on the third day.
You got it.
Have a nice day.
You too. Me and Mo, baby, that's my main man. We just had a little bit of a rocky relationship. You know, you've had situations like that with females, rocky relations, like your wife, for example.
Everybody, yeah, sure.
How's that lemonade coming? George is opening up a Kool-Aid stand in his house and only going to have one customer, he hopes. In fact, it's going to be for free. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless loins. Here's line 9, WQAM, hello.
Hey, Neil, what's going on?
Not too much.
Hey, I'm calling you from Gainesville. Anyways.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Listen, I have a name.
By the way, I hear that book ain't selling too big. The Bubba book.
Really? I have a name for you. Like, I'm like left core liberal, but I had John McCain, and the reason why is because like he'd always been like called like a rogue, whatever that means. And
yeah.
Now I read in on Politics One, I read that he was like in Washington State and Nevada, like. Saying President Bush is my candidate, you should come out and vote for him.
Yeah, he's kissing Bush's ass,
yeah,
right, even though
totally,
he hates him like poison. Yeah, he's a total sellout.
Totally bowed down. Well, anyways, I love you very much, and I will be listening to you online. So peace.
Thanks, Pally. Have a great day. See you. Good guy up there in Gainesville, and a different guy in Gainesville. Remember that other one? How could you forget?
Right.
We actually got like a living and breathing human in Gainesville, as opposed to the other one he used to call to say...
I have no life.
All the time. Oh, brother, that one. 26 past noon at 560 WQM. How's the poll coming? Well, I don't want to overdo it because of that poll you took last week. Don't refer to it every 5 minutes. Okay, I'm making 5.5. That John Negroponte, who never met a dictator they didn't like, never met a terrorist, a butcher they didn't like. And he's going to be our ambassador to Iraq. That is really sweet. Which of these people best fits this description? Somebody used to like but now hate like poison with that typical South Florida. 258 votes. And we got a real battle going on. Dennis Miller has zoomed in the first place. Pat felt like he was laying out.
Are you sure?
Dennis Miller, 79. Phil Henry, 71. Geldy's got 27.
Ow!
Spank him again. Come on.
Ow!
Jerry Lewis, 22. Fred Durst, 18. Ralph Nader, 9. Todd the Schmidtmeister's got 8. I don't know why they would have liked him in the first place. I guess maybe they were a little slow catching on that he was just Rush Jr.
Must be that.
Dick Morris, he was Rush without the pills. Dick Morris, 6. Yeah, I guess it was Dick Morris that was diddling around, now that you mention it. I think it was him.
Morris.
Colin Powell, 5. Mr. Ego's got 4. Deion Sanders, 4. Bob Novak's got a pair. And I bet you they're craggy. Phil Jackson, 2. Arnold Schwarzenegger, 1. And John McCain just went on, 258 votes. Still not like what I'd call overwhelming. Well, we've done this one before. We got sucked into doing this poll because the first one went over like a pregnant pole vaulter in Australia. Hey, I'll tell you what really goes over, and that is the pizza law. The best pizza in town, and Jeff Cohen guarantees it or your money back. That's right. The best pizza or your money back. Jeff Cohen, chef and owner of the Pizza Loft restaurant, guarantees you'll be thrilled with the food there. Now, when he says chef, don't worry, he's not in the kitchen. I mean, if he were in the kitchen, quite frankly, I'd have a whole different altitude. He stays out of it. In fact, they won't let him in the kitchen. He's so sure you'll love the pizza that he guarantees the best pizza in town or he'll give you your money back. After 27 years in South Florida, Pizza Loft has earned a reputation for quality food and service far beyond your wildest dreams. Big, gigantic portions, everything is cooked fresh to order. The food is delicious, every kind of pasta dish under the sun. They got the best garlic rolls, I guarantee you, anybody's ever had. And they got fantastic 3 different kinds of great pizza. Jeff is inviting you to stop by Pizza Loft today. Take them up on that order offer for the best pizza in town. And I guarantee you, in no time at all, you'll become one of the regulars at Pizza Loft in Davie. Now they offer Balance for Life Zone diet menu items, as well as whole wheat pizza and whole wheat pasta, too. Pizza Loft, you'll find them, like I said, in Davie on University Drive between 595 and Griffin Road. They're open every day, 7 days a week, for lunch, dinner, late-night snacks, and they deliver to most of Southwest Broward, too. For takeout, delivery, catering for as little as $5 per person, call the world-famous Pizza Loft at 954-916-8880. 916-8880, Pizza Loft, home of that money-back guarantee.
My and local. This is Sports Radio 560, QAM.
Onzo boy got this.
You don't like Reagan, but he was a god.
He was a bum.
What do you know about him?
Oh, I got stories about that childhood. We go way back to the days when nice, clean people ate nice, clean food.
Huh?
I was working in the commissary in the Warner Brothers lot back in those days. All the big stars were there. Eddie Mayoff, Lorraine Tuttle, Babe Bainter, French Artone, and that big role-playing punk named Reagan. Well, he came into the commissary, see, whilst I was talking.
You know that Carol Lombard? I had her.
Now, make a pack of cigarettes.
Hold your horses, Pally. I got a very important customer over here.
You had Carol Lombard?
Why, sure I had her. But she was the only broad I could find around here that didn't have mottled skin. And she trimmed. Of course, she had to use pruning shears. And just to show you that I got a heart, that I ain't all business. She was the best piece of...
Come on, mister, get off the dime. Just...
Hick Gable came by with his shiny wooden teeth in his bed.
Just give me a pack of cigarettes and stop shooting off your mouth.
Look, pal, I got a lot of trade here. Why should I worry about a two-bit sale from a bum like you?
Listen, smart guy. One more crack out of you and I'll smear you all over the joint, do you hear?
You're wasting your time. I don't like your face.
Get up, you. Am I wasting my time? Am I? Next time you see me, you better cross over to the other side of the street. It'll be healthier for you. Remember that.
I'll never make it in this town. You hear me?
12:33 at 560 WQM on a great Wednesday, man. What a day, you know what? I'm not really sure why. A week from today, we got the big handover, June.
About 30, man.
A week from yesterday, we got the trends coming out, right?
Yeah, it's a big,
it'll be a big week. Now, you might want to reconsider. You might want to, like, show up next week. You might want to think about it for a second or two. No?
I'll read the numbers in the paper.
Okay. Yeah, and Tom Zicka's calling. Right. He's bound to have something on that. Here's some numbers for you. I had this story on yesterday, coincidentally enough, but we didn't have the numbers. International terrorism killed 625 people last year, more than double the 307 deaths the Bush administration was babbling about in a faulty report. There's another faulty report used to argue it's winning the war on terrorism.
Hey,
more
that was
lies,
an honest mistake.
More BS, more twist in the facts, more bad intelligence. You can't complain about the intelligence of this administration because just look at Dumbo, man. They don't have any. The errors in the annual Patterns of Global Terrorism report have embarrassed the administration and dented its claim that Washington is prevailing in the war on terrorism, a key part of El Presidente's reelection strategy. He might have to go and manage things in
Abu Ghraib.
The number of deaths from international terrorist attacks last year remained below 2002's 725 fatalities, the administration said yesterday. One U.S. official said the main reason for the surge in 2003 fatalities was the original failure to count many attacks in November and December, including a November 9th car bombing in Riyadh that killed at least 17 people, and November 15th and 20th car bombings in Istanbul that killed at least 61. But then again, they're animals anyway. When the State Department released its annual terrorism report with fanfare nearly 2 months ago, officials cited it as evidence Washington was prevailing in the war on terrorism. U.S. officials have since denied they manipulated the figures for political gain ahead of the election. Right. But Bush appears to be losing ground on the issue of terrorism amid growing public disenchantment with the Iraqi war. According to the ABC News Washington Post poll released on Monday, the poll found 48% said they trusted John Kerry to do a better job of handling U.S. Campaign against terrorism, against 47% who said that Bush would do a better job. Well, he can't do a much worse job because he ain't doing any job at the moment. He's busy with Iraq. He's between Iraq and a hard place. Well, I got a couple of really good, I'm going to have to read them.
All right.
Well, not right now.
Okay.
Bill O'Reilly's final solution. This one will just set you reeling when you hear this. And also, Bill Gallagher, dry drunk president, losing his grip, question mark? Dry drunk president.
I love it.
5670560. Let's get another 100 names on this poll. What do you say? Let's make it worthwhile. Which of these people best fits this description? Somebody you used to like a lot, now you hate them like poison. Like,
Are you sure?
Yeah, like him. WQAM, hello.
Hello, WQAM.
Yes, sir.
You tell him to put Tom Jickle on there. I hate that guy. I hate him. Tom.
You know, that voice, that guy is one of the most chronic of the original. He's been calling for how many years?
About 30, man.
And he has an excellent point. Very good.
Yeah, since before you were on, he was calling.
I know that. Since before I was born, he's been calling that guy. One thing we like about Tom, though. That's our favorite thing about Tom Jicka. Again, it's not personal, Tom. I like you personally. You're a fun guy at the track. But professionally, you are lame, man. You're like in that Geldy class.
Ow!
You are sad. You can't complain about his coverage of radio because, generally speaking, there isn't any. Just like that thing with the ratings on that Big and Stern going off, all of that stuff. No follow-up, no nothing. But who the hell am I to be telling people what to put in the newspaper? Like that jerk, that Glenn Garvin schmuck. Our armhole. See, I almost said it again. But I'm doing a pretty good job controlling myself.
Yeah.
Have you had that interview with Glenn Garvin yet for the column he's going to write about radio censorship? No.
Let's have him on.
Because he's never going to write it. 5670560. Let's get another couple of hundred names on here. Pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon Wireless line. WQAM, hello.
Trying to save the world again.
WQAM, hello.
Elton John.
Elton John. He used to like him. Now he hates him. Probably the glasses.
Not to the music. I agree.
Okay, Elton John. They used to love him, but now they hate him. They wish he would croak a wicked death. They wish the piano would just go flying right off the stage with him on it. WQAM, hello.
Neil, I got one for you.
Yes, sir?
Dave O'Brien, man.
Dave O'Brien, he used to be the Marlins guy.
Absolutely, man. Dedicate Backstabbers by the OJs to him, all right?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Dave O'Brien, who, of course, Joe Angel got the Schmidt can for him because of the fact that he's got another big ego. So many big egos in so little time, you know what? Ever see Ralph Nader and Dave O'Brien together? Same guy. Now, did you ever work with Dave O'Brien on those games?
I've met him a couple times.
I met him once. He seemed like a reasonable guy. I didn't realize he had such a mammoth ego and such marginal talent. He is like Three River Stadium.
What do you mean?
He's like all those cookie cutter stadiums. He's like generic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like those guys that all sound the same, no personality. I mean, I'm not saying he does a bad job, but he's just a voice. No personality, no individuality, no charisma, no color, nothing. He doesn't even probably say a walk-off home run. No, seriously, you show me a play-by-play guy that don't say
absolutely
walk-off home run. In fact, Mo said he's going to say it during the Dolphin game, which ought to be pretty exciting.
Live and local, this is 560. The radio's all yours. QAM.
Judge Packin?
Here.
Don't get sucked in by that Tony Auction, man. It's a scam.
The word police in all the facts in my head. The word police don't like the word that I've said. The word police won't be happy until I'm dead.
The right wing nuts. One, two, protect us from ourselves. You gotta watch.
You're busted, you're busted. The word police are monitoring every
door.
And using any coarse language by the power vested in me and our Lord God, Bush, the Federal Communication Commission, and my strong people, Michael Powell.
The word police, they
want
to bash in my head. The word police, they want the words that I said. The word police, they want my civil rights dead. The word police. The word police.
1244 at 560 WQM. Speaking of that Geldy business, I'm thinking back to when we were down on the second floor those first ugly months at QAM. With all the equipment, the phones that didn't work, and those clowns from Whammy running all around,
days.
And that fat Joe
about?
Filling his face with donuts.
Having the building to ourselves.
And I'm thinking to myself about hearing that first spot with Geldy's voice on it. Remember, it was that cigar store, cigar restaurant. That, in fact, I mentioned that before today, going to that place. Remember?
Yes.
Where Fat Rich was taking a bath in the sink because he munged all over his shirt. And I heard the spot for that place, and I'm thinking to myself, there's actually a place in, of course, they're out of business now. It must be just a coincidence.
Ow!
But there's a place of business that's actually having this guy with a voice like that doing a spot, like taking him seriously, and I couldn't believe it. But then again, after hearing a lot of the people that Greg puts on here, it makes you understand that...
Budget has a vehicle for you. Got a business trip? Rent a luxury car or a Ford Taurus, or maybe treat yourself to an adventurous sport utility.
Right, and then...
I like that one.
Yeah, we also got that.
Manny Ramirez.
So we kind of specialize in things like that. In fact, as much as contempt as I have for the Big O's work on the air, I do like him personally. He's a good guy. And I would say if I had to rate the two... I'd rather hear the Big any day of the week. At least his voice doesn't sound like scratching a fingernails on a blackboard than that shrill. Oh, see what I mean? Shrill.
Ow, man.
I bet you Mo's squeezing himself right now. He's so excited. He's probably squeezing the bag. I want to hear that Mo thing again, that drop.
One moment, please.
Oh, come on. Let's hear the Mo drop. Drop it, Mo.
He's dropping it. He's got to recue it.
Is he dropping it?
Oh,
don't pick
God.
It up.
Oops.
What was that? What the hell was that? I think Mo is vibrating.
Absolutely.
You don't have it?
How come you're turning red there, Josh?
Oh, Josh has got it.
I stand in front of you now, 2 years later, and say, it took me a little while, I'm a little slow learner, but, Neil, I apologize.
Neil, God.
Way deal. You are the truth.
Amen. No, like I said yesterday, anybody with a half a brain, even though the guy's very divisive and has gotten canned everywhere he's ever worked and has caused numerous problems in our building and don't get along with too many people, but nevertheless, that's all in the past. We shove all of that aside because the guy's got a great voice. He's a real broadcaster. He's worked like in real markets. He's a real person. Well, I mean, at least radio-wise. But the other one, is there any comparison? And running around whining and screaming and, brother. Geldy, you've had it, man. Just wait till we have Rimmer on for 4 hours one day. Not to talk about hockey, just to talk about you. Even you'll like that. In fact, maybe the day that he comes in to buy you lunch.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Now, you notice how Pizza Loft is running spots again on the show? You want to know why?
Why?
Because now Jeff realizes he's got a lot of extra cash he's going to be freeing up now that he's not going to have to be feeding certain family all the rest of the year. Bill O'Reilly's final solution, writes Thomas Wheeler in the Alternative Press Review. This is a fine, brief column about the fascists, or at least one of them in this country. And I would like to point out, Jick, I noticed in his Q&A in the Sunday Sun Sentinel in the TV book, his Q&A, somebody asked about Bill O'Reilly and how dare they take him off of WFLL, and now he's on WWE. Responds by saying he's on FTL 850. The fact of the matter is he's still got a big...
Oh!
He's never gotten a tenth of a point in any of the ratings since they put him on the air in this market. Zero. There he goes again, writes Tom Wheeler. Here's what Bill O'Reilly had to say in his June 17 broadcast of the Radio Factor. O'Reilly, because look, when 2% of the population feels that you're doing them a favor, just forget it, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. and I don't have any respect, by and large, for the Iraqi people at all. I have no respect for them. I think that they're a prehistoric group that is, yeah, there's excuses. Sure, they're terrorized. They've never known freedom, all of that. There's excuses, I understand. But I don't have to respect them because, you know, when you have Americans dying trying to, you know, institute some kind of democracy there, and 2% of the people appreciate it, it's, you know, it's time to wise up. And this teaches us a big lesson that we cannot intervene in the Muslim world ever again. What we can do is bomb the living daylights out of them, just like we did in the Balkans. Just as we did in the Balkans, bomb the living daylights out of them, but no more ground troops, no more hearts and minds, ain't gonna work. O'Reilly also declared the Iraqis are just people who are primitive. The Fox News host has a history of making racist remarks and advocating the mass murder of civilians. When four armed U.S. mercenaries were killed in Fallujah, O'Reilly commented, problems continue for the U.S. military in Fallujah. Why doesn't the U.S. military just go ahead and level it? He made it clear he doesn't care about the people of Fallujah and that we know what the final solution should be. Apparently, the mass slaughter of hundreds of civilians in Fallujah by the U.S. military just didn't do it for O'Reilly. O'Reilly's bloodlust also extended to Afghanistan. A few days after 9/11, he declared, the U.S. should bomb the Afghan infrastructure to rubble, the airport, the power plants, the water facilities, and the roads, if the Afghan government did not extradite Osama bin Laden. O'Reilly continued, this is a very primitive country, and taking out their ability to exist day to day will not be hard. Remember, the people of any country are ultimately responsible for the government they have. The Germans were responsible for Hitler. The Afghans are responsible for the Taliban. We should not target civilians, but if they don't rise up against this criminal government, they starve, period. The Geneva Convention states that destroying infrastructure essential to the survival of civilian populations is a war crime, and the starvation of civilians as a method of warfare is prohibited. Besides being an obvious racist, O'Reilly is an advocate of targeting and killing civilians, non-white folks, of course, that clearly constitute war crimes and crimes against humanity. When the United States deliberately targeted and systematically destroyed Iraq's water treatment facilities during the first Gulf War in order to create favorable conditions for disease outbreaks, especially in major urban areas, according to a 1991 U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency document, and followed that with a deliberate policy of blocking humanitarian supplies to deny necessary repairs, medicines, and medical equipment, Dennis Halliday, former Deputy Undersecretary of the UN, declared this policy as genocidal. O'Reilly is openly advocating genocidal tactics to be used against civilians, proposals that would kill millions of civilians if they were carried out. The virulent racism and fascist mindset of O'Reilly is also pervasive within the U.S. military. The racist contempt of the Iraqis and blatant disregard for civilian lives by U.S. troops in that country is disturbingly common. One only need look at the systematic torture at
Abu Ghraib
for confirmation, not to mention U.S. troops murdering Iraqis by deliberately firing into crowds of unarmed protesters, dropping large bombs in urban neighborhoods, slaughtering wedding parties, engaging in collective punishment, house demolitions, kidnapping, torture, and firing into vehicles filled with civilians at military checkpoints. A number of American troops perceive Iraqis as Untermenschen, the Nazi expression for subhumans. To those who object and protest such actions, O'Reilly suggests you just shut up, or you'll be declared an enemy of the state. He made his feelings about dissent pretty clear shortly before the war started. On February 26, 2003, he said, once the war against Saddam Hussein begins, we expect every American to support our military, and if you can't do that, just shut up. Americans, and indeed our foreign allies, who actively work against our military once the war is underway, will be considered enemies of the state by me. Just fair warning to you, Barbara Streisand, and others who see the world as you do. I don't want to demonize anyone, but anyone who hurts this country in a time like this, well, let's just say you'll be spotlighted. You're either with us or against us. America Uber Alles. Sound familiar? Pretty good column, and that's a thumbnail sketch of what he's all about, that slime bag. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. Which of these people best fits this description? Somebody you used to like pretty well? Now you hate him like poison. Dennis Miller, they've turned on you, sweetheart. 98. And by the way, nice job on Monday Night Football. 98 for Dennis. Phil Henry, 80. Now, see, I'm the non-sports guy on this station. Now, who is the one that said right from the beginning, he hasn't got a Chinaman's chance of making it on that thing? Didn't I tell you that?
Yeah, you did.
I mean, what he added to that, you could have put in a teacup and had room for the whole Iraqi army left over in there. Dennis Miller, 98. Phil Henry, who's let us down so badly.
Okay.
82. Steve Gully Gelstein in a strong third place.
Ow!
39 for the Gully Meister. Little twerp. Little backstabbing twerp. Jerry Lewis, 25, Ralph Nader, 20, Fred Durst, 19, Colin Powell, 16, Todd the Schmidtmeister, 13, Dick Morris, 7, Deion Sanders, 6, Mr. Ego, 5, half his audience pretty pissed off, Arnold Schwarzenegger, 4, John McCain, 3, Phil Jackson, 3, Bobby Novak, 2, he ought to be in jail, Elton John's got a pair, want to see him? Tom Dick has got one, and Dave O'Brien, he don't have any out of 345. We're finally starting to get like a little something going there. after that first pool, which was a little bit too nice for the South Florida crowd, and especially on a day when it's 140 degrees in the shade, and even Scranna's bitching about it.
Roy!
WQAM, hello. WQAM, hello.
Hey, Neil, I got one for you, Paul.
Yes, sir.
Pat Riley.
Pat Riley, used to like Pat, but I guess too much of that Grecian formula did it for this guy. Oh, and speaking of Grecian formula, over the weekend I'm watching the Ron Popeil, the end of his infomercial for that the rotisserie, whatever that thing is that he sold about 50 million of already, which actually is a pretty good product, I guess. But anyway, he's doing a thing at the end with his catalog, where he's showing all of his great hits from the past, you know, the
right.
slicer, the dicer, those plastic trays that you dry your weed or whatever you're drying in them.
Right.
And then they had the balls to show the cans of HL, whatever the hell they call that.
GLH.
GLH, the spray-on hair. Oh, my God. Just spray it on and hope it don't rain. Hope you don't sweat. Hope nobody laughs too hard. You know, in fact, that's even worse than most muskrats.
Absolutely.
If you ask me, that's right. WQAM, hello.
Hey, Neil.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I got three things to tell you.
Go ahead.
One that you can add to the poll, and this could work for anybody who selects his choices. My parents. You know, I used to like my parents. But...
That's a good one. I like that.
Second, don't pay the full price for Bill's new book, because my wife got Hillary's book on eBay for $4, and when we received it, someone has stolen it out of a Texas library.
I'll be damned.
And third, I tried Emerald Coast. It just wasn't up to par, Neil.
Well, maybe it was an off day. That's all I can tell you, because I've eaten there dozens of times. It's always sensational.
All right. Adios.
Good luck to you, pal. Thanks for the good support for our fine sponsor, okay, Schmuck?
Sure.
567-0560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. Ever had a complaint about that before?
Nope.
No.
No.
But he don't like it. Maybe his taste is in his tush. WQAM, hello.
Neil.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I don't mean to seem chronic, but I'm just surprised nobody's put OJ on this list yet.
Dan, well, that's fantastic. What's wrong with that? That's a good one. That's exactly what the poll's all about. Everybody used to like OJ, even George.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with him anyway.
A little bit. I mean, you didn't dislike him.
Like those airplane movies.
Just another dumb ex-jock who was a bad actor and used to run like hell through the Hertz thing in the airport. And now, of course, anybody with a half a brain hates you like... We hate you like poison, O.J. We want to mention that on the show every single day. We hate you like poison. We despise you. Even Scran may turn on your ugly black ass.
We're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Well, this is Scott Burrell. And when I'm up in Boca Chica slapping old women with painted lips around the pool, I listen to the Neil Rogers 1 to 2 hour. I listen to the Neil Rogers Fair and Balance 1 to 2 hour.
This weekend on Access Hollywood.
Homer, you're on strike because you want a larger salary, right?
Something very close, exactly along those lines.
So, what more do you want?
Beer, chocolate, forbidden donut. 64 slices of American cheese.
Tacos! Pancakes!
Yeah!
Yeah! Okay, well, good luck with that. And while you're on strike, what are you going to be doing?
I'm bringing Michael Jackson home to stay with us for a few days.
The Michael Jackson? No way.
Now, make sure we have plenty of cold cuts and put some beer on ice.
This is what Michael Jackson looks like.
Nose looks like an electrical outlet.
If your nose starts bleeding, it means you're picking it too much.
Michael Jackson, woo, woo, I love you, man.
That's what the world needs now. More love, more...
Help! He's touching my special area!
Die, you monster!
Okay, folks, show's over. Nothing to see here. Show's over!
That's this weekend on Access Hollywood.
Homer, did you see Janet Jackson on Letterman?
Boobies.
All right, you're overstimulated. Access.
Love that Homo Simpson, man.
By aiming.
101 at 560 WQM. Mad Dog from Iceland, too, from Reykjavik, from that bogus golf tournament. It's always a good excuse, right?
Sure, why not?
Golf. Then we got, I'm taking a look at that schedule. It's just a little bit hard to even say, much less comprehend. We got Mo and in the morning from 5 till 8. Then we got Geldy and Bo from 8 to 10, while Joe is in limbo. That's really sad, the whole deal. Let's get Joe Costello back in there somewhere, right? With all the vacant spots we got.
Sure.
Right? I mean, Joe is like an almost real broadcaster, certainly as compared to some of the swill that we got on the air right now. Bill Gallagher writes, dry drunk president losing his grip, question mark. I don't want to do all this reading, but I will anyway, just because I feel like it. Well, we got some more names on the poll. What else have they got? Not much. Bill Gallagher and the Niagara Falls Reporter. Oh, Niagara Falls, that's right around the corner is what I heard from Jim Boris Yeltsin, Fix It. Don't be calling me anymore here, Fix It, okay? And don't be giving my number out anymore, George.
Okay.
Schmuck. What an idiot. The lies, delusions, and deceptions of George W. Bush have reached the point to where the dry drunk madness and the stinking thinking in his frighteningly flawed mind are what drives all his remarks on the bogus Al-Qaeda-Iraq connection and the president's rigid judgmental worldview. In the best of times, George W. can be impatient, self-important, and prone to irrational, contorted rationalization. Now that his crazy, unnecessary war in Iraq and grandiose plans to change the Middle East with more violence have clearly failed and he fears that he might get bounced from the White House like his daddy, our president's mental pathology is gaining more control over his behavior. The commission investigating the 9/11 terrorist attack set off the president's panic attack. The commission, which Bush first opposed and then ostensibly supported while his minions thwarted its work, arrived at a conclusion that sent the White House into white heat. In vividly clear language, the commission reported, "We have no credible evidence that Iraq and al-Qaeda cooperated on attacks against the United States. That fact is well known to anyone who takes time to pursue the truth and is not blinded by partisan fanaticism." Even Bush said as much himself in one of the most underreported stories of our times. Last September 17th, the president admitted publicly for the first time that there was no evidence that Hussein was involved with the 9/11 attacks. That admission got little play in the media. The Wall Street Journal and New York Post didn't even bother to mention it, and many other papers buried it far away from the front page. But the commission rekindled the issue. Since the panel did exhaustive research and its chairman and half of its members were named by the president, the panel's reputation of the Saddam al-Qaeda connection enraged Bush and the emperor struck back. The reason I keep insisting there was a relationship between Iraq and Saddam and al-Qaeda is because there was a relationship between Iraq and al-Qaeda, Bush told reporters at the White House after the commission's findings were announced. Bush said his most significant evidence of this link is Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, a Jordanian terrorist the president claimed worked with the Iraqi government as a senior al-Qaeda terrorist planner. He failed to mention that then-CIA Director George Tenet testified before the Senate that Zarqawi is a rogue operative who doesn't work with al-Qaeda and was not associated with the Saddam regime. I noticed Bush had the same look on his face with that same smirk defiance and how dare you question me pose when he met last year with Polish reporters who asked him about the phantom weapons of mass destruction. Bush snapped impatiently, "We have found weapons of mass destruction." Bush then went on to cite some mobile trailers his own inspectors already had dismissed as harmless weather labs. Bush then went on a twisted attempt to redefine the record that he and his people had deliberately clouded, aided, I should say, by most of the mainstream media. "Wait a minute," Bush cautioned, saying this administration never said the 9/11 attacks were orchestrated between Saddam and al-Qaeda. While that is technically correct, Bush chose to ignore the torrent of rhetoric he and his supporting cast of warmongers used to create just that impression. The administration convinced 70% of the American people before the war that Saddam Hussein was linked to 9/11, and now Bush is trying to distance himself from the lies and successful propaganda campaign that he orchestrated. Bush said flat out, 1 year after bin Laden's terrorist attack, "You can't distinguish between al-Qaeda and Saddam when you talk about the war on terror." Condoleezza Rice tossed in her contribution to the company line, saying Saddam was a danger in the region where the 9/11 threat emerged. And, of course, there was Donald Rumsfeld's wild, unfounded claim that within a week or a month, Saddam could give his WMD to al-Qaeda. Bush likes his enemies, evil and simple. Since Saddam was a personal irritant for Bush and sat on the world's second-largest oil reserves, he was going to be the target no matter what. Unwilling to admit the real reasons for war, and with his phony ones now exposed, the president is growing more angry and resentful. In public, he can still put on a cheery and likable face, as he did when unveiling the Clintons' official portraits at the White House, but privately there's another picture. Bush has been displaying increasingly erratic behavior and mood swings, reports Capitol Hill Blue, an internet news site. Doug Thompson and Teresa Hampton, who once wrote a scathing piece about Bill Clinton's serial groping and sexual attacks on women, have written a chilling account that raises serious concerns about Bush's state of mind these days. It reminds me of Nixon, of the old Nixon days. One longtime GOP political consultant with the White House Links told the reporters, "Everybody's an enemy, everybody's out to get him, that's the mood over there." White House aides told Thompson and Hampton that Bush is now micromanaging to the extreme, spending hours reviewing attack ads against John Kerry and denouncing Democrats he calls enemies of the state. The report notes Secretary of State Colin Powell has fallen from grace because of his doubts about the war against Iraq. White House aide reveals, "We lost focus. The president just got hung up on the weapons of mass destruction and an unproven link to al-Qaeda. We could have found other justifiable reasons for the war, but the president insisted on those two tenuous items." But George W. Bush is an unyielding, inflexible, and extreme man who, by his own admission, follows the dictates of his gut rather than careful thought and reflection. Bush may be showing more signs of being a dry drunk, according to Catherine Von Wormer, co-author of Addiction Treatment, A Strengths Perspective. In an article in Counterpunch magazine, she writes, dry drunk is a slang term used by members and supporters of Alcoholics Anonymous and substance abuse counselors to describe the recovering alcoholic who is no longer drinking, one who is dry but whose thinking is clouded. Such an individual is said to be dry but not truly sober. Such an individual tends to go to extremes. She also observed that Bush's obsessions, tunnel vision, single-mindedness, and grandiosity point to the stinking thinking commonly found in dry drunks. Bush will claim forever that Saddam was in cahoots with Al-Qaeda, that the war meant weapons of mass destruction, that his war with Iraq is all about doing God's work and spreading freedom. That's how his damaged mind is programmed. Dick Cheney's another case. He sets his own course and says what he pleases. The vice president, or enabler-in-chief, has nurtured Bush's obsessions. Cheney is the most strident propagator of the Al-Qaeda Iraq link lie and is sticking with his story in a futile attempt to save his fallen reputation in the hope that continuing the deception for five more months will salvage the Bush administration's chances for another term in office. His clinging to power and his addiction to his discredited reasons for war drive Cheney. 2 days before the 9/11 commission debunked the Al-Qaeda Iraq connection, Cheney, who surely was tipped off, made a preemptive strike claiming Saddam Hussein had long established ties with Al-Qaeda. Cheney was so enraged with media reports about the commission's findings, he ventured from his usual protected forum, the Rush Limbaugh show, to CNBC territory where he might even be asked a question. Asked if Iraq was involved in the 9/11 attacks, Cheney said in his oh-so-solemn tones, "We don't know." And then with a smugness that goes with power addiction, Cheney was asked if he knows information the 9/11 commission does not know. He crowed, "Probably." Well, if he does, why didn't he share it with the commission? Why doesn't he tell the American people about the previously unknown smoking gun on the Al-Qaeda-Iraq connection? Will Cheney provide new evidence? Probably not. With the power-drunk Cheney navigating and the dry-drunk Bush at the helm, our ship of state is in distress. We should throw them both overboard, writes Bill Gallagher in the Niagara Falls Reporter. Dry-drunk. What was power-drunk. It that Ima said this morning about Cheney? Pork chop stuffing. That was great. Even pork for the old stuffing. Doddering I-man, that was sensational. 5670560, #560 on the AT&T and Verizon line. WQAM, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Neil and George?
Speaking.
Hey, nice to talk with you guys.
Likewise.
This is Frank Gonzalez. I'm a candidate for U.S. House running against Lincoln Diaz.
Oh, hey, Frank.
How are you doing?
Frank.
Is this the screener or the actual call?
This is us.
Oh, great. Well, it's great to talk with you guys. I wanted to let you know that we're going to be on. First of all, in case Neil hasn't heard of me, because I haven't.
You're talking to him. This is Neil.
Oh, I'm sorry, Neil. I can't tell your voice on the phone. It's different.
That's the idea. It's a subterfuge.
Interesting. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know I'm the only guy standing in between Lincoln Diaz-Balart and his seventh term, his 13th and 14th year.
Right.
I got my own signatures out there. I agree with everything you're saying about the Bush administration. I think the ruling yesterday in the Senate was horrible. If one of us were there, we definitely would vote this down. We would never let this pass. We're going to be on Bill O'Reilly tonight at 8 p.m. with our presidential candidate, Michael Badnarik. We're already on 31 state ballots, while Nader isn't even on one officially. And would you give me permission to plug my website?
Sure, go ahead.
It's www.gonzalezforcongress.org. I know from the people who I petitioned from that they really are disgusted with Lincoln Diaz-Balart. He's a Bush lover. He favors the war. He favors the draft. He opposes
the
woman's
rights. What party are you running on?
I'm a third-party candidate. I'm the only guy. There's no Democrat. I'm a Libertarian, member of the Libertarian Party. We're the third largest in the country. I'm hoping that with the apathy and basically the disgust with what's going on in the Bush administration, that people are going to start turning to alternatives, because the big two parties, I mean, let's face it, Kerry's going to be doing pretty much the same thing. He had a thing on his website earlier that said he wanted to have mandatory service for young people, which is the same thing as conscription or the draft, and they changed it as soon as we called them on it, and they're trying everything they can to basically get through and get the vote without really being honest about what they're promoting.
Well, why is mandatory service? I mean, how about the Peace Corps, things like that? That's not the same as the draft.
No, agreed. But again, it's all about voluntary. You know, we believe that you're the one to decide what to do with your body, with your income.
Well,
with
anybody that's running against the Lincoln Diaz, we wish nothing but the best of luck.
Well, Well, thanks. I for some reason, there's no Democrat. I asked them why, and they just haven't put anybody up there because they thought he's...
Well, because they just they're conceding. That's obviously why.
But he is very beatable. He's got we've got 50,000 new voters, most of whom are Democrat and Independent voters. And another thing, I oppose the embargo on Cuba. I'm of Cuban descent myself, and I think it's a disaster. The censorship, the privacy violations with the Patriot Act, those things are all horrible. People don't realize that we're losing our freedom. We're not free anymore. So anyway, I appreciate your time. Again, it's www.gonzalezforcongress.org. I'm not a politician. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just trying to make a difference. I don't see anybody else doing it. So, you know, help me out if you can. And
okay, good luck. Good luck to you, Miguel.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, he's, you know, on that party, which I'm not all that crazy about, but nevertheless. If he's running against Lincoln Diaz. In fact, if he's against any of the Diaz-Balart, that's good news to me, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of your people.
Which one?
You're going to vote for him?
For him? Yeah, sure. Why not?
113 at 560 WQM. Summer's here, but are you still embarrassed to take off your shirt at the pool or wear that nice skirt you saw in the window? God almighty, I was so tempted to buy it, but I thought, man.
It's just your color.
It would be so embarrassing to be waltzing around in that thing. So what are you doing to finally lose weight and feel better about yourself? You've got to take advantage of Balance for Life. Who would have thought you could have 3 meals and 2 snacks delivered right to your door daily and still lose weight? And don't forget, the beauty is you get to pick your meals. Every week you'll get a different menu with 2 selections for every meal. No other company offers this. Select your breakfast, lunch, dinner, 2 snacks. That's it. No cooking, no cleaning, no calorie counting, no carb counting. And you lose weight because all the meals are based on the proven Zone Diet by Dr. Barry Sears, who only wishes he was related to Brian Sears. For example, menu choices this week are portobello and provolone omelet, veal marsala and crab Louis salad. How can you call that dieting? People on Balance for Life are losing an average of 15 pounds a month without even trying. Plus, for a limited time, get a free pedometer when you sign up, which is not, by the way, for pedophiles. Track your steps and increase the weight loss with your pedometer. And now try their special 7-day trial never offered before. Don't forget, check them on the web if you like at balanceforlife.com. But if you want to get started right away, you can make that toll-free call, 1-866-225-4543. If you'd like to avoid that pacemaker like certain people we know, make that call today. It could be an important one. 1-866-225-4543. Or again, check them on the web at balanceforlife.com.
Live and local, this is Sports Radio 560, QAM.
In Miami Town, at 560 WQAM.
Do-do-do-do-doy.
You might have heard they made a switch. Iraq has a new president, and some ain't accepting it. I hear there's word out on the street. Got a big surprise waiting for this new government chief. Working on a car bomb. They're working on a car bomb, yeah. Step inside and say
working
bye-bye.
On a car bomb.
Maybe in that limousine is a car bomb, yeah. These loyalists will hit you hard. I reckon no place to be if you're some political star. Getting in your car ain't always cool. So have the chauffeur get in first. Don't you be a fool.
Working on a car bomb.
They're working on a car bomb, yeah. Turn that key on history.
Working on a car bomb.
New presidents better watch out for those
car bombs, yeah.
Even though I'm not a fan of the Libertarian Party, the Democrat Party really sucks anyway. We saw that proven in Congress in the Senate yesterday.
Oh.
What did I tell you? They have no backbone. They have no spine. They're a bunch of political weasels, which is the only reason that this Iraq business is going on right now. And as much as I will vote for Kerry 30 or 40 times, the fact of the matter is that he's a part co-conspirator. It's very easy to say now, after the fact, boy, you screwed it all up and you did this wrong, you did that wrong. He gave the rubber stamp to it.
Sure.
Along with most of the others. That's why we want our boy back, baby. How about a last-minute switch? Come on. One last shot. Yeah, bring our boy back. What do you say?
I'll carry him.
And you notice how we don't... There was a little flurry there when he was squeezing and hugging with Kerry, and then now we don't hear anything from him anymore. Come on, let's bring him back alive.
We're going to South Carolina.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're Washington, D.C. to take back the White House?
Yeah. But look what we got, you know? Pophead Roosevelt, look what we got. Here's some good news. You know, one thing that amazes me, you see all these Viagra spots, and what's that other one, Cialis?
Cialis, right.
There are more limp Americans, boy, it is really scary. In fact, I think that's, speaking of the Democratic Party, just like what we saw yesterday, all those Democrats in the Senate, limp members. Wouldn't that be a good way to describe them? Yeah,
sure.
Limp members of the Congress. Slim down to sex up is what the new thing is. Of course, slimming down, how do you do that? This stuff they put on TV, man, you just want to take your TV and put it in the bottom of the pool, put it in the ocean somewhere, just throw a rock through it. How can obese men revive their sex lives? Exercise more and eat less.
Revolutionary.
Speaking of that, do we have a bulletin from our buddy?
Hiya, Pally!
Any update on his condition?
No, we haven't gotten a bullet.
Oh, a bullet in? But they're probably trying to stick one in right now. They can't get it through all the layers of fat. A new study reports that a third of obese men with erectile dysfunction, or ED, Ed. Hi, Ed. Regained sexual function after 2 years of treatment at a weight loss clinic. Some experts say the finding is yet another reason to encourage their patients to lose weight and take on healthy habits. I thought it was going to say finding it would help. A healthy lifestyle will not only improve sexual function, but also provide myriad other benefits to the patient. Wow, what a concept. Isn't it revolutionary how they come up with all these great ideas? And the results are tangible not only during the patient's physical exam, but also in the bedroom. If the patient is obese and has erectile dysfunction, losing weight has a positive effect of regaining sexual function in one of three patients, says Christopher Segal, a urologist at David Geffen School of Medicine at the University of California, Los Angeles. The study published in this week's Urinal of the American Medical Association, which is read enthusiastically by Josh Beckett, he loves that urinal, reports that out of a group of 55 obese men between the ages of 35 and 55 who had erectile dysfunction, 17 of them regained sexual function after 2 years of intensive help at a weight loss clinic.
Of course, being able to find it is real helpful.
That's what I'm saying. Almost a third of obese men reversed their ED after exercising more and losing weight. That fact is striking, wrote Segal, an accompanying editorial to the study. The successful men upped their level of physical activity from an average of 48 minutes of exercise a week to 3 hours of exercise. 48 minutes of exercise a week, that's like 7 minutes a day. Who the hell's doing that?
Well, walking to your car and back.
Oh, I see. Mainly walking, but also swimming or aerobic games like football or baseball. By adopting a low-calorie diet, they also reduced their body mass index from... So how about instead of a walk-off home run, let's have a runoff home run? Now we're talking. Let's have a runoff. Yeah, just like an election, a runoff, instead of just a walk-off, and then we won't have all those fat slobs walking around. Then maybe some of these guys won't have a big fat ass like they got. Like, what's his name for the Indians? Don't pitch for the Indians anymore. What the hell's that guy that pitched for the Indians in the 97 World Series? Come on, Josh.
Got me.
Oh, my God, with an ass the size of Mount Rushmore. Good-looking kid. He pitched for the Indians, and I think he was the losing pitcher in that game to the Marlins, I do believe.
Was he a spick?
I don't remember. Well, what does that have to do with it? Just because he had a big ass?
Yeah.
Pudge Fisk had a big ass. Is he a spick? No. What about the guy for the Red Sox that had the big ass? What's his name?
Wait, we're getting a report here.
What?
You talking about Bartolo Colon?
No, I'm not talking about Bartolo Colon. Seriously, man, you better walk off. You better do a walk-off act.
I came from Curtis...
Yeah, thanks a lot, Curtis. Okay, like I said, we got people on here like Curtis Stevenson who know nothing about sports. Bartolo Colon, my ass. Well, that's where you'll find it. 5670560. Pound 560. How about Mickey Lolich? Okay, let's go way back in time, all right? Since obviously you guys are just totally lost. How about Pudge Rodriguez? Would that be good? Is that somebody we can relate to and understand?
Okay.
And how did we get into that with a big ass? Oh, that's right. If Pudge would hit a runoff home run, maybe he wouldn't have such a big ass. That's what I'm trying to tell you, okay?
Good. He could walk it off.
That was my whole point. He needs to run off, not walk off. Walk off home run my ass. That has got to be. It's already Wednesday. This is starting to sink in a little bit, but I can't absorb it. I can't handle it. It's so stupid. So idiotic. Dennis Miller is pulling away from Phil. Positive.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Which of these people best fits this description? Somebody used to like but now hate like poison.
Hey, Jared Wright, pitcher for the Indians?
That's the one. Who gave you that?
Sean.
Thank you, Sean, whoever you are. What, Sean? Listener?
No, he works here now with in promotions.
In promotions? Oh, by the way, Miguel, where's those tickets? Just a joke. Just relax, you crazy spick. Dennis Miller, 127. Phil Henry, 93. Geldy Geldstein's got 43.
Ow!
Man. O.J. moved up from nowhere to 36. Boy, he's going to be moving up real fast. You know what? Do you think he's going to overtake Dennis Miller? I believe so.
No.
Well, I think he will. You'll see. Ralph Nader, 29. Jerry Lewis, 28.
Hey, lady.
Colin Powell, 22. Fred Durst, 21. That's amazing. Now, what is it that he did that turned everybody so sour?
Just his tood.
Just act naturally?
Right.
Just be a general spaz hole? Todd Schnitt, 18. Dick Morris, 11. Arnold Schwarzenegger, 9. Deion Sanders got 8. Mr. Ego, the Kane Meister's got 7. Phil Jackson, 5. John McCain, 5. Elton John, 4. Bob Novak, 3. Tom Jicka's got 1. Pat Riley's got 1. And Dave O'Brien don't have 1 out of 471 votes. We'll get a few more names on there, or not. WQAM, hello.
Deion Sanders got 8. Hello.
Yes, sir.
I think you're talking about Jose Mesa.
Oh, yeah, Jose Mesa, sure. No, the black guy that played for the Red Sox. Come on, with a big fat ass. Superstar, slugger.
What, when?
Recently, within whatever the hell, the last 5 years, 10 years. Mo Vaughn. See, leave it to me.
Mo Vaughn.
What?
Yeah, he finished his career with the Mets. That's why I...
He didn't play for the Red Sox?
No, he did, but, you know.
I said within the last 5, 10 years. When did he hang it up?
2 years ago.
Okay, so is that within the last 5 or 10 years?
Well, he hung it up with the
but
Mets.
But he finished his career. How many games did he play for the Mets?
About 30, man.
Boy, you're brutal, man. Leave it to me. And Ormy, you want to know the reason that his name came to mind is because my closest, best personal friend
absolutely
happens to share the same first name with him.
Live and local. We are Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Thank you, baby.
Good morning. This is John Kerry. Many of you are listening while riding in your cars. For many, you're pulling out of the gas station after filling up the tank. How much did it cost you and your family this week? Let's ensure families are struggling to make ends meet just to pay for gas. We can do this. I have a plan. Be asleep at the wheel during this current energy crisis. A strong America begins at home with these high energy costs. And I believe America can and should be the place that will spend an additional $7 billion on fuel. Gas prices drop, but it doesn't have to be this way. We can have an energy crisis. This is the great project for our generation. Let's do it together and not stop working until we get there. I'm John Kerry. Thank you for listening.
Ow!
Now I understand why Josh Beckett won't pee at the urinal next to Josh Cordes. Now I understand why Dave Van Boring won't let Josh adjust his hairpiece in between innings. You better get with it, man. You sure don't know your baseball. Mo Vaughn retired officially, you know when?
It was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
This season.
No, he didn't.
He announced January 8th that he last played on May 3rd of last year when he went on the disabled list with the Mets. He was with the Mets for 2 years, one of which he didn't play most of the year. How do you like that?
But he was out all last season, and he said he wasn't going to come back.
He played. He went on the disabled list May 3rd, never played again. That's correct. So that's last year. And he announced January 8th of this year that
he
was retiring.
I'm counting that. That was the last time he played, all right?
You would know his ass from Cecil Fielder's. How do you like that? Man, oh, man. All the only point I was trying to make is that there are a lot of fat athletes out there, and they ought to, like, do a runoff home run, some of these big sluggers, like Baby Ruth. He could have probably run off a couple of pounds.
He definitely
big fat tub of crap. What?
Fat athletes?
Fat athletes, that's right. As in...
Rackham.
That's it. Well, speaking of asses, the House Ethics Committee said yesterday it's going to review a complaint from a Texas congressman that accuses House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, a fellow Texan and a real ass, of serious criminal acts. Well, there's nothing worse than a criminal ass. The committee said Democratic Representative Chris Bell met House rules for filing such a complaint. The decision is largely procedural, not based on the merits of the allegations. DeLay, a Republican, of course, a right-wing zealot, a fascist bastard, has called the complaint filed last week the product of a disgruntled lawmaker. Bell, a freshman, lost his re-election bid in the Texas March primaries after Republicans redrew his Houston district. The committee's decision Tuesday triggers a 45-day review of the complaint. Yada, yada, yada. Bell called the committee's move an important first step in the long journey to restore integrity and ethics to the People's House and told the House Majority Leader hold him accountable for his actions. Rabid lunatic. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. Dennis Miller, 136, Phil Henry, 93, Geldy, 45.
Ow!
And guess who's creeping up on Geldy's ass is OJ, and from what I'm seeing, it looks like he's got a machete in his hand. He's got 41. He's right on Geldy's butt. And Ralph Nader's got...
About 30, man.
WQAM, hello.
It's a sis, damn it.
Yeah. Okay, whatever you say. I'll boil it and see how it comes out. All the experts, all the time. No, it's not a boil deal. It's assist. How did he get an assist on that goal? Come on, Geldy. Who got the assist on that goal?
It's a goal. It's a goal.
I can't wait. I might just actually come in here if there is a hockey season and listen to some of those broadcasts and then, like, tape some of it and critique it on the air the next day.
Oh, boy.
I'm gonna make his... Huh?
I said, sounds great.
Yeah. Hey, listen, don't be knocking those hockey shows, man. That's the bread and butter. It's a miracle we're still on the air after that crap. WQAM, hello. QAM, line 8.
Yeah, how you doing?
See, he knew. Yes, sir.
I just want to talk to Neil.
Speaking.
Neil, how you doing?
I'm still doing good.
Oh, okay. Just got a quick question for you. It's like a rational thinking guy, even though you lean a little to the left. Why are these people that are in Iraq chopping off heads to get us out of there if there's no ties?
Well, what does that mean? The people in Iraq now, they have every kind of terrorist group that's ever been invented. These people weren't there before we started dropping the Bomba Grande. They weren't there.
But they're really getting militant now, that just because we're there. If there's no ties there, why are they trying to terrorize people to get out?
Because now it's a hotbed for terrorists. They created this. Don't you understand? Our going there created this. We opened up the door. There's a vacuum. There's no security.
We fired the army.
Oh, my God. What a maniac. Why are they chopping off heads? Why are they militant? Oh, brother. I mean, don't confuse us with the facts. It's a hotbed of terrorism. Every terrorist group from Iran, from everywhere in the Middle East, from all over the world, they're coming on in.
We took out the system that was keeping them out.
Oh, brother. This is so sad. But nevertheless, 5670560, pound 560, even though I lean a little to the left. I lean whatever the hell way the wind is blowing, okay? I don't lean. I'm way over on the left, and I'm proud of it, okay? Well, this business, you lean a little to the left.
Straight.
I'm not a Nazi, okay? And I'm really proud of that, all right? I'm not a Nazi, and not even a communist, since that went out with high white bucks and high button shoes and knickers.
What'd you call me?
All these silly people with their freaking labels, okay? How about being a thinking, breathing human being, which, sir, you obviously are not? Read one of the stories on our website someday. Have somebody read it to you. You might learn something. They're so militant, they're chopping people's heads off. Oh, no kidding. Maybe they're barbarians, is that what you're thinking about?
See, if they would just blow people up with bombs, that would be more civilized.
Yeah, like Bill O'Reilly said, that's right. Let's be civilized and just start blowing a bunch of people away, including a lot of innocent women and kids. That's a good idea, because we're not barbaric like they are.
Right. Chopping heads off one at a time, what's that?
WQAM, hello.
Neil.
Yes, sir.
How the heck are you?
Pretty good.
This is Tampa calling.
I'm so sorry.
What do you mean? Stanley Cup? What are you talking about? I'm sorry about
that. Right. Congratulations. Nice job, by the way. That was a great job. The Lightning, I love them. I love Brad Richards. I love Vinny LeCavalier. I like the Tortorella. They did a great job.
You don't sound like your normal happy self.
What does that mean?
I thought hockey was your life.
Hockey is not my life. Radio is not my life. My life is my life. What do you want me to do? Do a dance beat? This is long after the fact. How long are you going to be living on this, the glory of the Stanley Cup?
Well, at least a couple more months, I think.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think you're going to squeeze it that hard.
I'm going to suck as much out as I can.
No, I bet you will.
Okay, well, long time no talk.
Yeah, and thank God for that. Oh, boy, how about depressed? Guy that got nothing to say wants me to congratulate him on Tampa Bay winning the Stanley Cup. I didn't know he played. Oh, that was Nikolai Habibulin, huh? I don't think so. Well, you know, I can't get too irate with a guy because he's in Tampa, you know? He's got to have something. He's got to have something to squeeze onto. Just like in South Florida, it's the same thing. Oh, we love the Marlins. We love the Heat. Whatever's going good at the moment, which, you know, we don't like the Dolphins too much anymore. We hate the Panthers and, you know, and the Hurricanes. Forget about them. Screw them. To them. That was a raspberry.
I know.
in case Mike Rosenthal is listening and monitoring. That was a raspberry. We can't afford to be paying like $275,000 per raspberry. Uh-oh, there was two of them. We could be bankrupt by 141 if I keep that.
Well, the good news is $3 million limit. So.
Oh, that's true. Small potatoes. I never thought about that. That's $3 million a day. That's only like $90 million a month. What's that among friends, right?
Cost of doing business.
Probably Greg is fleecing more out of that in trade outs just this month alone.
Mike and local. This is Sports Radio 560 QAQAM.
And back at you. 146 at 560. That last call that guy from Tampa just sets my insides just twisting, you know? I got the old twisted kishkis now.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't I enthusiastic? And I say congratulations and great job, Brad Richards, and the Lightning and John Tortorella, the coach. And I didn't name everybody on the team, but I could, but I'm not going to waste the time. Oh, what's the matter? You don't sound like, you know, hockey's your life. See, if he would have approached it the correct way, he would have understood. First of all, it's not a sports show, but if it were, I mean, didn't the Bucks win the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah. Didn't the Lightning just win the Stanley Cup just a couple of weeks ago?
Correct.
Right. Now, when did the Panthers win the Stanley Cup? In fact, when did the Panthers last make it in the playoffs? How many years ago?
About 30, man.
When did the Dolphins last win a Super Bowl?
About 30, man.
Yeah. So even though Tampa is a mugwump place and a Neanderthal place, and most of the people there came out of a cave in Aintree somewhere or in Nashville, from a sports standpoint, they got it heads and shoulders, right? And at least their basketball team didn't lose in the playoffs this year.
Hmm.
Right?
Talking to you. Right?
They don't have one, but nevertheless, their basketball team didn't lose.
You're referring to Orlando?
No, I'm talking about Tampa. Yeah, I'm referring to Orlando. Oh, brother. Yeah, the big...
Oh!
That Orlando. You are just a mess today. Well, I was working with that Van Boren guy. What's he doing, trying to put his piece on your head? Or as Josh Beckett would do. Well, I don't want to go into that. Robert Shear writes, the truth about Iraq finally has its pants on. Speaking of Josh Beckett, we have no credible evidence that Iraq and al-Qaeda cooperated on attacks against the United States, reports the staff of the bipartisan 9/11 Commission in demolishing one of the Bush administration's main arguments for invading Iraq. Now the administration and its spinmeisters are reduced to playing cheap semantic tricks to justify one of history's great bait-and-switch operations, arguing that they never said explicitly that Iraq was collaborating with al-Qaeda to harm the U.S. The administration was perfectly happy when more than 4 out of 5 Americans polled as we went to war said they believed Saddam Hussein had something to do with the destruction of the World Trade Center towers. We are now to believe that the dozens of prominent references by President Bush and his top officials to linkages between al-Qaeda and Iraq were taken out of context by a confused public. For example, the administration is now saying that when Bush announced on the deck of the aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln that the defeated Hussein was an ally of al-Qaeda, he didn't mean they actually helped each other. When Secretary of State Colin Powell told the UN that al-Qaeda was operating inside Iraq, he apparently assumed people knew that he was referring to an affiliate called Ansar al-Islam that was operating in the northern no-fly zone patrolled by the U.S. and outside Hussein's control. And when Vice President Dick Cheney said on Meet the Press that by attacking Iraq we'll have struck a major blow right at the heart of the base, if you will, the geographic base of the terrorists who had us under assault now for many years, but most especially on 9/11, he was only helpfully pointing out that Iraq is in the Middle East, too. Yeah, right. The reality is that Bush and company have turned the language of lying into a fine art, always leaving themselves a shred of deniability in case the truth catches up. For example, Cheney is repeatedly cited as a smoking gun, an always shaky report about 9/11 hijacker Mohammed Atta possibly meeting with an Iraqi official in Prague only months before the attacks, telling the nation that the sole claim to direct evidence linking Iraq with 9/11 had been pretty well confirmed. The 9/11 Commission staff, however, begs to differ, saying Atta was in Florida. We have examined the allegation that Atta met with an Iraqi intelligence officer in Prague April 9, based on the evidence available, including investigations by Czech and U.S. authorities, plus detainee reporting. We do not believe that any such meeting occurred. The fact is that while the administration has been doing its utmost since 9/11 to convince us that Iraq is the central front in the war on terror, our security goals have been terribly compromised by expending our political, military, and moral capital on the wrong enemy. As the 9/11 Commission interim report makes clear, Osama bin Laden's allies before 9/11 were Afghanistan and the only two countries that recognized its Taliban regime are so-called allies, Pakistan and Saudi Arabia. In no meaningful sense were the religious fanatics in Afghanistan and the secular dictator of Iraq allies. Indeed, what the staff report says is bin Laden had in fact at one time sponsored anti-Saddam Islamists in Iraqi Kurdistan, Later in 94, Bin Laden made overtures to an Iraqi intelligence officer requesting space to establish training camps as well as assistance in procuring weapons, but Iraq apparently never responded. Never responded is not a relationship make. Yet Bush, not one to let the facts get in the way, said last week, the reason I keep insisting there was a relationship between Iraq and Saddam and Al-Qaeda is because there was a relationship between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. It's the big lie technique. Never flinch in the face of truth. That's why Bush will never admit that he got it wrong when he told the nation on the eve of going to war, Iraq has sent bomb-making and document forgery experts to work with Al-Qaeda. Iraq has also provided Al-Qaeda with chemical and biological weapons training. There's a saying that a lie can get halfway around the world before truth gets its pants on. Well, thanks to the many brave Americans who pushed so strenuously against the wishes of this administration for a legitimate investigation of the events of 9/11/2001, the truth has its pants on now and maybe can finally enlighten the 40% of Americans who still believe that Iraq played a role in the attacks. 40% still believe it, like that schmuck that called before. Well, gee, they're really getting militant now, and what are they doing over there? Why are they chopping people's heads off? I think the real question is, why are they there, and how did they get there? And who were the enablers in allowing them to be there and do their thing?
Well, they're supposed to greet us with candy and flowers.
I see. Well, that's right. We're supposed to forget about that, too. Or maybe somebody just hijacked all the candy and flowers. Maybe the UN's got it. How's that pool coming? Which of these people fits this description best? Somebody you used to like, and now you hate them like poison. Dennis Miller, 148. Look who just made 100.
Are you sure?
Phil Henry. OJ's moving up fast, though. You'll see. 51, he's climbing. He just hopped over Gully like he was a dead man.
Ow!
51 to 50. Ralph Nader, 33. Jerry Lewis, 28. Colin Powell, 24. Fred Durst, 21. Todd Schnitz got 20. And after that, it's small taters.
My and local. This is Sports Radio 560. UAM.
Baby, launch a couple missiles.
Yes.
Toward a place we know, and aim them at a fella whose first name begins with O.
Oh.
There's one thing we all understand. Al-Qaeda won't be finished until we blow up Pakistan.
Absolutely.
We could chase them round forever with our tanks and all our troops, but special forces are so tired of jumping through them hoops. You know we need another plane, so let's cut out all the nonsense and go blow up Pakistan.
Okay.
Al-Qaeda needs a nuclear tank. Why don't we stop pussyfooting and go blow up Pakistan?
Ow!
Boom, boom.
Amen. And then we'll take on the Saudis, and then, you know, and we'll hook up the big hose to the oil. And we'll be all set. 35 cents a gallon at our station.
This station here? QAM?
Yeah, QAM. Anyway, let's start a rumor. Let's get a run on the gas. Dennis Miller, 151. Phil Henry, 104. OJ, 54. Gildy, 50. Now, if anybody missed the show today, they missed some heavy-duty news. Have you, now, you got that thing queued up with Mo? Because I don't want to put you on the spot again.
No, he doesn't have it queued up.
You don't have it?
You know, you can load multiple things on that second deck there, Josh.
Oh, my God. Are we going to run out of time before we get a chance to play that again? I got news for you. We're
so
not stepping.
I stand in front of you now, 2 years later, and say, it took me a little while. I'm a little slow learner. But, Neil, I apologize.
It's radio.
You are the truth.
How do you like that? We have finally, nobody would have ever dreamed this, okay? And the only reason I'm doing it is because Gildy is just, he's the chigger in the woodpile. He's the odd man out. Just everything about his behavior and his ambiance and everything that he's done and just turning and stabbing in all directions. And quite frankly, there ain't nothing there, baby. There ain't no talent. That's the problem.
Ow!
There ain't nothing there but a squeaky-voiced putz. He's going to do the Panther. And I love the guy that called him. It sounds to me like a little bit of jealousy. Yeah, I'm really in line to do the Panther game to go be doing play-by-play in the wintertime. Oh, man, what a lunatic. It's not a question of jealousy. It's a question of a guy there that's just darting out in all directions who don't belong on the air in the first place, but nevertheless. Joe Rose will be coming back one of these days. Do we have any idea when?
No.
This week?
No.
Next week?
No.
2 weeks from Circus?
No.
Nobody knows. Does Duff know?
No.
Does Clarence know?
No.
Does anybody at does Greg know?
No.
As soon as Greg gets that lobotomy, man, things will get straightened up.
Bye, bye, bye!
The Neil Rogers Show on 560 WQAM, Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, my God. They took my job!
Ow!